May I welcome fellow members, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the Council. Would I ask all members to please switch your mobile phones off and any other items that might make a noise and disturb the meeting. Do all councillors have a copy of the agenda papers? In case of an emergency, people at the back of the room, if you would leave through the door that you entered and towards this side and the front of the room, there is an emergency door to my right. There are toilets in the foyer, just off the foyer, and there is drinking water there available as well. Are there any apologies for absence?
Yes, Chairman, apologies from Councillors Graham, King, Keel and Raper.
Thank you. Are there any other to be... I think that's actually everything. I don't see any other spaces. Moving on to item 3, public question time. There are no public questions. Item 4, minutes. Item 4 on the agenda is to approve as a correct record the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 27th of June 2019. You'll find those at pages 5 to 28 of your papers. As Chairman of Council, I move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 27th of June 2019 be approved and signed as a correct record. I have a seconder for that. Councillor Garbutt-Moore. Unless a member has an amendment to change the minutes with the words to be included or deleted, which I can put to the vote, I will move to the vote on approving the minutes as drafted. Members, please cast your votes now.
Yes, it is.
Chairman, that's 24 votes for and 2 abstentions.
The minutes are carried. Moving on to agenda item 5, there are no items of urgent business. Item 6, declarations of interest. Do any members have any interest to declare under the Members' Code of Conduct? And at this time I will note all the County Councillor members that we have present. Are there any other items of declarations of interest? Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I think the motion's on notice on fracking because I chair the National Park, which is one of the minerals and waste authorities. It would be prudent for me not to actually make a vote on that. I wish the motion well, but I need to keep my discretion clear for if we have to take a decision at the National Park. It would be a shame not to be able to do that by stating too obviously here.
Thank you. Any other declarations of interest? No. Do it and then it's, if in any doubt, say it and then it's later. Councillor Frank.
I think because I'm on the National Park Committee as well, I think Jim's pointed that out to me. I hadn't thought about it, but there could be a decision at a later along the line, so I think for that I will abstain. Thank you.
Item 7. Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. I attend meetings of anti-fracking groups which aren't constituted groups. I'm not on any planning committee which deals with minerals, I declare an interest. It's personal only.
Thank you. Councillor Mason.
Same as Paul, I declare an interest on a personal level, but I don't make any decisions at minerals level.
Thank you. Moving on, item 7, announcements. Stacey, have you got anything at the moment? There is nothing at the moment on item 7. Item 8, there are no members' questions on notice. Given that there are a number of members of the public present, I have asked that we bring item 11B forward as a courtesy to them. Item 11B you will find in the agenda, and if you allow me to turn to my paperwork. Councillor Oxley, please move your motion, and then once it is seconded you can make your speech.
Thank you, Chairman. I move the motion.
Is it seconded? Councillor Delaney. Councillor Clark.
I think it's a point of order, Chair. Normally when we have a motion of this nature, it is referred to the appropriate committee. And I would like you to consider referring this to the planning committee to look at what changes have taken place since the original motion, etc. Now, on that basis, we have absolutely no rush whatsoever. This motion would, if approved, need to be in place before October next year. And I think this is an opportunity to have it looked at properly and completely and get everything together to decide. Thank you, Chair. I hope you will consider doing that.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I am at the service of the Council. If the rest of the Council, as an amendment, wishes to delay and defer, then it would be up to them. I will take comments from the floor. Councillor Duncan.
Only to say, Mr. Chairman, that I think it's your discretion as to whether this is heard this evening. I think it should be heard this evening, as that is what happened 4 years ago when we discussed this item, albeit coming from a different direction. I think we should discuss it, and obviously if an amendment is moved to refer it to planning, we'd have to debate and discuss that. But I think we should discuss it right now at this meeting.
It has been published, it has been advertised, and there are members of the public here. I'm looking around to see if there's a consensus to move it forward as put on the agenda, which I think we will do. It has been moved and seconded. Councillor Oxley, would you open the motion, open the debate, please?
Thank you, Chairman. This is new council. And back in 2015, we took this decision on a moratorium. People have changed. I think over the last 4 years, things have changed as well. It became clear to us during the recent election campaign that whilst fracking maybe wasn't the issue it had been in previous elections, it was still something the people of Rydale cared desperately about. In general, they didn't want to see it. In general, they weren't sure that it was proven. That whilst there may be lots of answers, and I'm sure people will say there are some definitive answers, there is still much debate. However, the view we formed is that the majority of people in Rydale would like to see this moratorium extended. I believe the majority of people sat around this chamber would like to see it extended. And given the situation we're in, it seemed appropriate to let this new council actually do that and extend it. We have a lot to do this next 4 years. We have a local plan to deal with the situation in terms of where this council is located to deal with the Eden Camp Business Park to deal with, and with the wider issue of climate change to deal with, which we are taking very seriously around this table. Delighted to see the way we're moving on it, and whilst fracking is a subset of that, it is a bigger issue. So we've lots to do. If we deal with this issue now, it is dealt with for the council. It doesn't come back at an inappropriate time when we're very, very busy and get rushed and pushed into a slime slot that's not available for it. I'm sure tonight we could spend all night finessing amendments, playing with words, showboating. However, we've brought this motion forward so we can put this issue to bed and deal with it quickly. So I hope that we won't spend time going round and round circles, everybody needing a say, everybody wanting to actually come up with some different words. I think it is time to actually, and I hope members will support this, let's get it on, let's send a clear message to the people of Rydale, and then we know where we are. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Delaney has seconded. Do you wish to speak at this moment?
I reserve my right, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair, I would like to propose an amendment. And the amendment is as follows. It's an addendum, incidentally. It's just to be added to the motion. The Council would wish to put on record its thanks to the councillors who have fought against fracking in the courts and the public examination into the North Yorkshire Minerals Plan, and to everybody who has contributed to the anti-fracking cause, including members of the public who engaged in lawful direct action. I do have a seconder.
Thank you, Councillor Burr, if I might have it up here. The Council would wish to put on record its thanks to the... Sorry, is that the extra? I have it. The Council wish to put on record its thanks to the councillors who have fought against fracking in the courts and the public examination into the North Yorkshire Minerals Plan, and to everybody who has contributed to the anti-fracking cause, including members of the public who engaged in lawful direct action. Councillor Andrews, do you want to elaborate on your amendment?
Yes, I will speak, Chair. I don't know how many of you know this, but on 14th August, Alan Lynn, the Chief Executive Officer of Third Energy and both of its parents' companies, as I understand, announced to the Kirby and Misperton Community Liaison Group that Third Energy are now focusing on conventional extraction and would not be pursuing the fracking for the moment. He made it clear that his company could change direction if there is a change of circumstances and or of policy. So instead of fracking, Third Energy will seek gas through a process called dewatering, will not involve proliferation of drill sites and it will involve the drilling of only one new borehole, and that's on the KM8 site, and they say that it will not involve huge amounts of noise or disturbance for residents. Apparently, the porous nature of the rock means that gas and water get absorbed into it like a sponge. Dewatering means pumping the water out so that gas can be extracted by conventional means. As far as I know, Chair, there are no more applications to frack in the pipeline in the planning department of North Yorkshire. It is just possible, therefore, that all the work which has been done by councillors, officers, public and protesters may have been successful. Although I think it is far too early to be confident about this, and clearly there are a lot of unanswered questions. Members will recall how they instructed two members, myself and Lindsay Burr, to represent the council at the public examination of the North Yorkshire Minerals Plan, and the fight which was vigorously conducted in the courts and outside the gates of KM8. This may not be the kind of protest which many of us would normally agree with, but the result, hopefully, and I emphasise, and I'm cautious when I say hopefully, may be that residents have been saved from massive disturbance of their residential amenity, our rural tourist businesses have been protected, and our beautiful countryside has been preserved. We cannot say for certain that yet, but it's just possible that we may have achieved that. I would therefore suggest that it is only fair that the Council should record their thanks to those who have taken risks, very real risks, to protect not just themselves and their own neighbourhoods, but the neighbourhoods of everybody in this district and, in fact, in North Yorkshire. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Burr, a seconder, do you wish to speak at the moment? Does anybody wish to speak for or against the amendment? No. I'll go back to Councillor Burr. You want to, there's nobody else wants to speak. Do you wish to speak at this moment?
Thank you very much. I read in the paper that this was a historic moment, and I thought, well, it's not a historic moment because the government still want to pursue fracking. But what we do need to do is make a stance. Rydale District councillors and the new councillors need to make a stance and show exactly what Rydale District Council is about. I think the time has come with a lot of new members to put the past behind us and to move forward and to actually celebrate this amendment and the motion. And I think we need to show that we really, really do mean that we don't want fracking in our area at all. We need to say to North York County Council, we need to say to our government, we need to say that this is what we want. And I'm delighted that the new members are actually saying this. I think it's very, very important. I want you to take into consideration all the hard work and the fight that has been going on since 2015. And this has led to our community being a much better community, fit for tourism, fit for our economic viability. And now we hear that the newly taken over Third Energy are going to relinquish and not to frack. I think it's time, as I say, as Councillor Oxley rightly said, to stop talking, to put it all to bed and say this council is stronger now. We all believe in this motion. We want it to succeed and move on to other things that this brand new council want to do. So I would ask you to support our amendment.
Councillor Andrews, there isn't much to answer, but I will allow you... Sorry, we're actually winding the debate up on the amendment. I will allow you to reply to what has been said, if you wish to say anything further, briefly.
No, that's fine, Chairman.
In which case we will go...
Could I just ask you to re-read the amendment just one more time?
The council would wish to put on record its thanks to the councillors who have fought against fracking in the courts and at the public examination into the North Yorkshire Minerals Plan, and to everybody who has contributed to the anti-fracking cause, including members of the public who engaged in lawful direct action. If you would vote now, please, councillors.
Chairman, that's 12 votes for, 9 against and 5 abstentions.
The amendment is carried and therefore the main motion will be the amendment will be added to the substantive motion. We move back into the substantive motion. Councillor Mason has indicated he wishes to speak.
Thank you, Chair. I congratulate William for bringing this motion forward. I have a couple, one amendment which is a bit more technical and adding a line at the end. My amendment would be is to delete for the life of this council and change that to indefinitely. I don't see the point of having a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year if we're going to revisit this at some point anyway. And add at the bottom, this council requests the leader of the council to write to the government stating the position of the council. That is my amendment, and I have a seconder in Councillor Thackeray.
Thank you. If you bring it forward, and I'll read it out again. Sorry, The amendment reads as such. The line, if I'm struggling to, if you would bear with me just while I read it out, and then we can get on. The amendment reads as such, that the, to delete the words "for the life of this council" and add "indefinitely," and further add "this council requests the leader of the council to write to the government stating that this position..." Stating this position. Have I got that in full? Right. I think we've got it all anyway. Does anybody want me to read it again? No. Councillor Mason, if you'd like to address your motion, your amendment.
Well, as I said, moving the motion, I think the time limit is really a superficial thing. Really, I think indefinitely covers it, and it extends it until there is, I don't know, proof that it's a totally safe operation. And until then, let's keep the moratorium in place. The ad at the bottom is to have a call to action on the actual amendment as well, and ask our council to lobby the government and setting out the position of this moratorium to the government to inform them that we just don't really believe that fracking is right for this area, and in my opinion, for the UK as well. It basically says what it says in the motion.
Councillor Thacker, do you wish to speak as seconder?
I reserve my right.
Thank you. Does anybody wish to speak? Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just listening to what Councillor Mason said there about the timing, whether this is 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, the word indefinitely means it's there until this council reconsiders its position. At any time it can do that by debating it in this chamber and making that resolution. So on that basis, we're prepared to accept and vote for that amendment for the indefinite moratorium. The second element, which is myself as leader of the council writing to the government, I'm very happy to do that, stating the motion that we passed tonight. And I will endeavour to do that at the earliest opportunity after tonight's meeting. So we, as the Conservative group, will be supporting the amendment that you've put forward for an indefinite moratorium. But with that still there in our motion as written, that this could be reconsidered at any point.
I have nobody. Councillor Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I'd like to thank the Leader of the Council for actually saying that he will represent this Council and actually write to the Government, because obviously that is where the guidance comes from, and these are the people who are going to put our residents at risk. So I think that that's a really, really good stance, that we, this Council, a united Council, could actually write to the Government and say that. So I'm very pleased to support this.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. We don't have a problem with this, other than it needs to be reviewed as a point down the track. Having something there forever, we have two of our policies in this council: climate change policy that sat there for 10 years and gathered dust, and our equalities policy, which looks to be fairly similar. And on that basis, I'm nervous of it. The only definite time that there needs to be review is in 2050. So we will be supporting this amendment and then putting in that there should be a review at that point. But isn't it interesting, while I've got the floor, Chair, that the Conservatives are doing this to save time? Now, that's an incredible reasoning, because if they'd done nothing at all, we would have had this policy tomorrow without spending any time on it at all. But I'm sure Councillor Oxley will be able to explain to me in his Alice in Wonderland world how it is that spending time will be able to save him time. And Councillor Duncan, our leader, will be able to smirk quietly, because Councillor Oxley is in this boat, because he, Councillor Duncan, doesn't have to answer that question, but we'll find something for him later on to leave Councillor Oxley with a smile. Thank you, Chair.
I have no other indications of people wishing to speak. Councillor Thackeray has seconded. You wish to speak? Councillor Mason, would you like to reply to the debate?
Yeah, I'd just like to say thank you for the support of the Conservatives over there and the independents and Lindsay for both. Thanks, Simon. I'm nervous enough as it is. And Lindsay for summing up what I was going to actually say. Thank you.
In which case, we'll go straight to the vote. Members, please vote now.
Chairman, that's 20 votes for and 6 abstentions.
The amendment is carried. As already indicated by Councillor Clark, would you like me to read? You don't need to say you want to bring me an amendment, you already have, so I'll read it out. Again, we delete the words "for the life of the council" and add review in 2050 in climate change terms. Have I got it right? And it is seconded by Councillor Potter. Councillor Clark, would you like to open your amendment?
Thank you, Chair. And just to so that we don't collection of things that are taking us zero time, and we're getting into the TARDIS and making it all work wonderfully well, it'll soon be 20 past six. It does need to be considered in climate change terms, and I had to smile that Councillor Oxley has so far not mentioned a word of why he has changed his mind from before. Not a piece of scientific evidence, not a piece of anything, but the one word he did mention, which may be purely coincidental, was elections. I don't know why he used the word election in when he's bringing this forward. That isn't going to take us any time to do, and is going to save the council time and leave us in the same position at the end of this evening as we were at the beginning. That seems impressive to me. But then no doubt he will be able to explain to me, without using the word election, as to why that is the circumstances. So it's a very simple amendment, this. It is saying, long term, indefinitely, but we need to have a look at it. And I hope there is absolutely no need for fracking at any point. There is one danger, and Councillor Duncan for once has got it right, that if there were something to be needed by a fracking process at some point for medical chemicals or whatever, one well in the whole of the planet that's needed to do, let's not be absolutist with it. But there's absolutely no need when we have more oil found relatively easily available without fracking to send the climate into complete and utter meltdown. So I think the likelihood of my imagined exception is so small that it won't even appear on the Councillor Oxley timescale. So on that basis, Chair, we'd like to move that we review this in climate change terms in 2050 as an addendum to the motion as it's now amended. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Potter, a seconder, do you wish to speak? Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, the science really is critical to this issue. I'm quite interested what evidence has suddenly appeared that this historic motion's based on, since the Tories kicked out a ban and then only really passed the moratorium in 2015. Due to the fact that most of them abstained because of the planning committee being warned off by the council solicitor. It's interesting to see that the advice this time is quite significantly different. But I have to say that the Tories are commended, have to be commended for this historic pledge on fracking. It's excellent to see that there's a change of view. After all this time supporting fracking, I find it somewhat ironic that they make this gesture immediately after Third Energy stated it's got no intention to frack, and with an imminent general election looming. I'm sure that hasn't really got too much to do with it. Although the historic aspect did rather remind me of the USA in 1941 entering the fray at half time. And 1916, yes, sorry, I've missed that one. I defer to my somewhat elderly, more elderly colleague.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but it just interests me that the fact that the Americans have been claiming the credit for victory in World War II ever since. So, anyway, that apart, I'm very pleased to hear that it appears that there's a consensus all around this council that we will have a good long moratorium. Thank you.
Councillor Mason.
I think that was quite a good point, actually, about the electoral reasons. I do think we need to point out that if we do have an election coming up very soon, which is very, very likely, currently it's still national policy to frack everywhere. So I do hope that the Conservatives here in Ryder will be lobbying their own party as well to try and change policy.
I haven't seen any other indications of people wishing to speak. Councillor Duncan.
One point that maybe Councillor Clark can address in his summing up is the significance of 2050. I'm not sure how many members of this council will be here in 2050. I may well still be here. I'm not sure. Eyeing up the age of 60. And I'm sure I look forward to debating this in that many number of years' time in 2050. I will speak on the main amendment to the main motion to address some of the points that have been raised about the Conservatives and why this has come forward at this time. But I think the significance of 2050 makes me think we may as well vote for it or against it. It isn't going to really matter by the time we're looking at 2050. I'm not sure that any member or any officer will have that date marked in a calendar for us to revisit it at that point. I don't think it's too significant, the date of 2050.
I haven't seen any other members wishing to speak. Councillor Clark, would you like to answer the debate?
Fascinating. I grew up with the education of good right-wing tomes like Animal Farm and 1984. And 1984 was way off into history, way off into the future, never get anywhere near that. And a colleague of mine, when he was 93, I think, was discussing something, and I said, Richard, do you not think you're going a little long into that? Because at that point you will be 110, and isn't that a little bit long-term thinking? And he replied, no, John, when you're 93, 110 is only medium-term. Now, on that basis, I have every intention of being here in 2050, because so far I haven't trusted this council when it has done a policy to then ever look at it again after it's gone onto a shelf. And now the smile can be removed from our leader on the basis that he was in the controlling group when many of those policies were there and not looked at all under their leadership. That is disgraceful. That's the serious point to go with this. So, what's the significance of 2050? Well, I personally would like to make it 2040 or 2030, not because I'm more likely to be here, but those are more realistic climate change targets. But I'm trying to give a target date that fits in with the government's target date. because I wouldn't want members of the Conservative group opposite to be slung out of the Conservative Party because they voted for something that isn't in complete line with the national policy. Because we've seen it happening, and it's going to happen. If you vote for something to happen to a different timescale to government policy, then you'll be out. And if that happens to you, Lord knows where you go, because I don't know whether Rydell First will want you, whether or not the Lib Dems or the Liberals will want you. You'll have a very lonely time if you're not careful.
Councillor Clark, you're looking really long term, but you've actually only got 30 seconds.
30 seconds is more than enough, Chair. I hope Council supports this amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think we've all gone through the debate. Members, will you please vote now? I will read out the... Can I have... Thank you. Apologies. Delete the words "for the life of this council" and add "the review in 2050 in climate change terms." Members, please vote now.
Haven't we just deleted those words? In the last
I think
it's to add in.
It is to add in the
in front of indefinitely.
Review it. Yes. Thank you.
Chairman, that's 22 votes for and 4 abstentions.
The amendment is carried, and I see we have Councillor Clark again. If we can pay attention, councillors, the words to delete moratorium and replace with complete ban on all fracking. That's again proposed by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Potter. Councillor Clark, would you like to open your amendment?
Yes, Chair. The reason for this is the first thing tonight that's worth spending time on. It moves us on from having a policy that we don't want to waste time debating, which we are debating. And this actually says, let's try something a little stronger. Let's see if the medicine that you're prepared to take, is strong enough for you. And if you've got the political will and strength in line with your opposition to fracking to stand up clearly and strongly against the Conservative government. So on that basis, Chair, we're asking you for you to stand up and put up a banner and say this council wants a complete ban on all fracking. Nice and clean, nice and neat, nice and done. So you delete everything we've got so far and replace it with that. Now, on that basis, we will be sending out a message to the government. I'm quite happy with the writing to the government bit, but I think I don't think they'll have any problem with that, because I think they'll be writing to us if we go down there. Route. No, I realise you're listening through you, Chair, but I'm hearing a conversation that I thought they wish to get their decisions made among themselves in a group basis rather than try and make their own minds up individually. I'm perfectly happy with that, Chair. So, what we're saying is, let's declare, as loud and as clear as we can, we, the people of Rydell, through our district council, are completely opposed to all fracking, full stop, good night. And just to make it a little bit easier for you, so that anybody who has the nerve to do it, we'll be calling for a named vote. If I could ask my colleagues to elevate themselves or stand up or whatever they're doing, so that it is clear to the people of Rydale, it is clear to the government, it is clear to the oil and gas companies, it is clear to the banks who want to make money out of it, it is clear to the city that the people of Rydale are opposed to all fracking, full stop. I think that, Chair, will do for that amendment, and hopefully there aren't any more, but the outcome of this may alter that. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Potter, a second. Do you wish to speak now? Does anybody else? Councillor Duncan?
I would just like to make one point of order, Mr. Chairman, in that we've discussed this item, we've amended it, we've amended amendments in some cases. We're attaching things on the top of this that we've already voted for, which has become the substantive motion. And what I think Councillor Clark is proposing, but I'm not quite sure and would ask for clarification, is that we delete everything that we've already voted for in terms of amendments, and that we get rid of the motion as presented to this council, for the council to vote on. This is not an amendment, Mr. Chairman, and I would ask that you consider not accepting what has been put forward and then move on to the substantive motion that we have discussed. I don't think this is an amendment in the proper sense of the Constitution.
I can understand your point of view. I think I've already accepted it as an amendment. It is an extreme amendment to the substantive motion, but I think we've launched into the amendment. We may as well complete the amendment as we're already partway down it.
I would argue, Mr. Chairman, with the greatest of respect, that this is not an amendment to the motion. This is a completely different motion that's on the table. It's deleting the entire thing and putting something completely different over the top of it. And I would ask if you could please consult legal advice, if it's available to you, and some guidance on the Constitution.
I will accept your offer to take further advice. We might take a minute or two, if that's all right. Councillor Clark.
Point of order, Chair. That, what Councillor Duncan is saying, is now in line with what I was saying at the beginning, that this needed to be looked at properly in complete legal terms, climate change terms, etc., and so on, but he was insistent on debating it tonight. And if you can get good, thorough legal advice on that in the next couple of minutes, it may take you more than 2 minutes, I'll be perfectly entitled to, but before I propose, or somebody else proposes, that we adjourn this or refer it to PNR, or planning, which is where it should go, or Councillor Duncan accepts that he decided at the beginning of this meeting that we wanted to decide it tonight.
Councillor Hartwood, just give me 2 minutes.
Surely, Chair, I think you may need more. I'm more than happy to.
Members, we are of the opinion that it is an amendment. It is merely swapping words in the substantive motion, replacing moratorium with complete ban. So I'm happy that we've started on the amendment and we'll complete the amendment in due course, and everybody will have a chance to debate it in that order. I think, Councillor Clark, you have spoken. Councillor Potter, a second, do you wish to speak now? Does anybody else? Councillor Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we put this forward and we had our discussion as a group and we came to a unanimous view that this was the right thing to do, we thought that we were helping the fracking cause, the fracking debate, and stating clearly what we thought. The Liberal Party don't seem to like the fact that we've put this forward. The Liberal party leaflets distributed during the election stated that they would call for a moratorium on fracking this year. We have put forward the same moratorium. We have adopted the Liberal Party policy, and this seems not to be acceptable to the Liberal Party. We've got tonight an amendment that's come from the Liberal Democrats and an independent member calling not only for a moratorium for the life of this council, but a moratorium indefinitely, and we've backed that. Now the Liberals want to go yet further and call for a ban. This is not their policy that they promised to the public, and we feel that as it is currently written, an indefinite moratorium addresses, I think, the cross-section of views that we have in this council, the cross-section of views that people have on fracking, and therefore we will be sticking with what we put forward, which is a moratorium. I'm not quite sure what Councillor Clark is hoping to achieve other than wrecking something which I think has got cross-party support around this chamber, which I think we've shown quite good will on, and that's why we will be voting against what he is calling for, which I think is playing politics with what we have put forward, and we'll be sticking with it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Paul Andrews, followed by Councillor Burr.
Yeah, Chair, I don't quite understand how the Councillor Clark's motion is actually a destruction of the actual notice of motion. The actual notice of motion says, given this and taking into consideration the importance of tourism and the natural environment of the people and of the economy, Rideau District Council should extend the moratorium for the life of this council. Now, Rideau District Council should extend the moratorium for the life of this council. That is the bit which is being changed. It doesn't change anything else. It doesn't. It does change one of the amendments that has been put forward. And to my view, I cannot see why we need to refer this back to any subsequent discussion anywhere. I think Councillor Clark's amendment stands on its own. It does have an impact on some of the amendments that have been passed, but not on all of them. And I think therefore we can and should debate it, and we can take a view on it.
Which is what we're doing. Councillor Burr.
When I first stood up, I actually said that hopefully we could put the past behind us and we could move forward. I thought the spirit of the motion, and taking into account that we have new members on board, and taking into account the bitter rivalry that went on in this council chamber regarding fracking, some of us were passionately, you know, wanting to stop fracking, and others weren't so passionate. I'm disappointed that we seem to be going round and round in circles, and we seem to be playing some more games now. It's disappointing to think that, obviously, the leader of the council, the new councillors, have come in good spirits to put this forward. And I, for one, have taken that good spirit and hope that we can move forward all together. I thought that we had belt and braced this actually quite well with all the different amendments. And now we seem to be getting something else. I don't save or look at election papers, Councillor Duncan. I wouldn't know what was in anybody else's election papers. But if you say that that's what happened, then that's what happened. So I can't understand why, if you've put something forward that Councillor Clark wanted to happen, why he's actually saying that he wants to move it forward. So I think we're playing games. I think we're fed up with the games in this council. I'm sick of it. I just want to move forward with a new council, with us all working together and trying to make something positive come out of it. So I'm not convinced at the moment.
Councillor Ivy.
I understand the anti-fracking brigade, and I represent a lot of my people that I represent are anti-fracking, but not all my ward members are anti-fracking. In fact, I would only guess that it was no more than 50-50. The most vocal are the anti-fracking people, and you very rarely hear or get somebody to stand up and say, I'm not so sure about this anti-fracking, and I'm not being against the spirit of this council, but I think it's fair that both sides should be heard, even to the new guys. It's not just a one-sided thing, in my opinion, and, you know, there is scientific evidence either way. My colleagues, most of my colleagues, and most of you here, are clearly anti-fracking, but I'm sorry. It's not a done thing. It's not 100%. I would suggest that at least 50% of the residents of Rydale are not particularly anti-fracking.
Councillor Mason.
I question that statistic, where you got that from. I'd like to see the evidence of you doing a survey or a referendum even in Rydale. Maybe we should have a referendum on that one. I just questioned really... because we put the word indefinitely in after moratorium, isn't that a ban? Because I'm looking at the definition of moratorium here, is a moratorium on a particular activity or process is stopping for a period of time. Indefinitely is a ban. I think your 2050 was a very good amendment to go in. I can't understand the difference, really. Maybe it's my lack of knowledge of the English language.
I have no other members wishing to speak. I will therefore... Councillor Potter, you haven't spoken yet. Do you wish to speak now?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I was very interested to hear Councillor Mason say that, because that's exactly what I was about to say. My understanding of a moratorium is a temporary stop or a temporary ban. So an indefinite moratorium means a permanent ban. So why this sudden concern... and terror, in fact, of saying we're going to ban this. Now, I did mention earlier about where is the evidence. Interested to hear Councillor Ryby mention evidence, because I've still not actually seen any evidence that fracking can be done safely and without any harm. And we have significant evidence of where fracking's been performed in America, Canada, Australia, several other places, with significant harm. And I'm now talking about scientific studies, peer-reviewed, in peer-reviewed journals. So the sort of thing that I would expect people to accept. We're talking about, I've a feeling it's up to about 1,800 separate studies on the health effects, the negative health effects, should I say, of fracking. Somebody sitting close behind me would no doubt come up with an exact figure. We have proven absolutely categoric evidence of the problems with seismic activity, because we only have to look as far as the Fylde, where in 2011 Quadrilla had a certain debacle, and then they've repeated it more recently. So even just a test frack is on hold at the moment. Climate change effects, methane leakages, air contamination, water contamination, the economics of the industry, where we've got to the point where Wall Street is now refusing to fund this industry and they're having to move further afield, which is more risky and more costly. With an interesting study lately was that the original estimate of how much gas there is available in our shale in this country has been massively overestimated. And and this study, again, a peer-reviewed scientific study, says that it's about 20% of that original estimate. What we're really trying to do is scrape the bottom of the barrel in terms of oil and gas production, which means that it's not particularly cost-effective. So an indefinite moratorium? Do we want to leave it with that, or do we want to be absolutely honest and call it a ban? Thank you.
Very good timing, just over the 3 minutes. Councillor Clark, as mover of the amendment, would you like to reply?
Thank you, Chair. And I'd like to say how much I agree with Councillor Riley. I think it is very dangerous if the scientific world and the anti-frackers go round insisting that they are right, that 99% of the evidence, etc. I come from a farming background that completely ignored pesticides and fertiliser use for a mere 60 years. And we were called Stone Age and hadn't got a clue what we were talking about in scientific terms because we were farming organically. I'm still sticking to that view. There's an awful lot of scientists changing their minds. Now, on that basis, you can't be purist. But what I would say... But what I would say is what I said thousands of times on North Yorkshire County Council to people who were in favour of fracking. Are we sure, are you absolutely sure that climate change and fracking are not going against us? And that's the problem. I have no problem with you, through you, Chair, with your view at all. I'm just nervous that which is the safest way to go, whichever one of us has got it right. So very quickly, Councillor Mason, yes, I can see the headline in the Sun. I can see it saying, and I can say it is, well, no, quite, I'm sure they're far more to the right than that. Clearly stating that this is an indefinite long-term moratorium. I think more people would understand Rydale calls for a fracking ban. So it really is taking what we've got here and putting it into something that the Tories feel uncomfortable with because it says it as it is. As for the amendments that we moved through you, Chair, to Councillor Burr, none of those have been removed. They're all there. As was, as we voted for, as you voted for. But it is describing the ending of fracking in Rydale, not as a long-term moratorium that will be, etc., but as a complete ban. On that basis, will you please all support us? You've moved a long way. And yes, I think it was, and Councillor Oxley, I can discuss with you for a great length of time, the pointlessness of it's bringing up. Through you, Chair, to Councillor Duncan. We did get it wrong in our leaflet, and I spotted it after it had been printed, and went, oh dear, now then, in climate terms and whatever, the fact that we're going to do it next year, or this year, i.e. next council year, or now...
Councillor Clark, we're well over 3 minutes, so please wind up.
Sorry, Chair, I wasn't aware. On that basis, we are delighted that you're taking up our policy. Absolutely delighted. We've put ban to the public that which supported us. They're supporting us. And we look forward to you supporting all our other policies. Thank you, Chair.
Before reading out the amendment and going to the vote, I'm looking again at the mover of the substantive motion to see if he wishes to answer.
I'm being offered the opportunity. Thank you, Chairman. About an hour ago, in my weird time frame, which clearly will see me still here in 2050, because it's only about 3 minutes away in my time frame, Councillor Clark. Yeah. I thought that we were getting somewhere. This group is a new group. A lot of new members who felt very strongly about this particular issue. Referencing the elections, Councillor, I was talking about the feedback we got at the last council elections, not about a,
a possible, an imminent, or a who cares upcoming general election.
Point of personal information, Chair. I was referring to the local elections that we just had and no other elections whatsoever.
Thank you for the clarification. That's understood.
I think I heard the words general election come out of your mouth, Councillor Clarke, but never mind. The idea here was, as I said in my opening remarks, we have a view, the vast majority of people in Rydale, apologies to Councillor Ryby, actually were happy to have a moratorium on fracking in Rydale. We believe the vast number of people sat around this council chamber are in the same position. Coming in tonight, something happened that's never happened before. People carrying anti-fracking banners were saying, what a good guy he is, what a good guy he is. How have they changed their minds? It does, People change their minds. This group has changed its mind. We are very happy for a moratorium. I think the vast people in this room can support a moratorium. Ban is a difficult and a very strong word. As you've already said, Councillor Clarke, nobody's absolutely clear. I understand the science may be leaning one way, but there are people who say it leans the other. I urge people, please, let's have the original amendments, a long-term moratorium in place. Let's all support it. Let's put it as a council. Let's show the people of Rydale that's what we believe. But at the end of the day, there is still possibilities that things will change, discussions will change, and we need to leave those open. So I am personally not going to vote for the latest amendment.
I will read out the amendment. This is amendment number 4. Delete moratorium where it appears, I think it's at least 2 times, and replace with complete ban on all fracking. Are we all clear on what we're voting for? Members, please vote now.
Chairman, that's 11 votes for, 12 against, and 3 abstentions.
The amendment is lost. We return to the substantive motion. Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've debated this now quite a long time. There are a few things I do just want to say, which is that we brought this here in good faith. Sorry, Councillor Clarke looks unhappy about something.
Yes. Councillor Clarke is unhappy. I think I've only spoken on amendments. I don't think I've spoken on the main motion as now amended.
We are going to the substantive motion.
I thought Councillor... I say Councillor Duncan is in
He's
that.
Speaking on the substantive motion.
Sorry, King.
There seems to be quite a lot of questions about why we've put this forward, how this came about, is this one... big mistake, us putting this forward. Is this an electoral ploy, as some people have suggested? We started our discussions on this several weeks ago. We came to a viewpoint. We put it forward because we want to make our views crystal clear to the public of Rydale. We believe in it, and we will fight to get it through this council. I'm pleased that we've stuck with what we put forward, which aligns very closely with what the Liberal Party put forward in their election literature. John Clarke, Councillor Clarke, says he's got that wrong. I'm sure he'll have a chance to clarify that at some point. But we put this forward because we believe in it, because we want to make it happen. We want to make our views known. Whether it will make any difference is another matter, but this is what we believe in, and that's the genuine reasons why we put this forward. I would like to move, Mr. Chairman, that we go straight to the vote.
Councillor Clarke has already indicated he wishes to speak.
My understanding, Mr. Chairman, is once that's put forward and if it's seconded, then that should go straight to the vote to be voted to whether it should go
through. You are right. Is it seconded? Councillor Dockra. You might allow just me a moment just to collate the substantive motion as amended 3 times. Unless there's... I don't think there's any personal reply you need, is there, Councillor Clarke? I will collate.
I can give you a point, and you as chair will be able to decide what it is. But if we are going to have this approach, that we will stifle debate on the main motion just like that, and then insist on taking a vote. And I'm sure I've voted for one of those at some point in the last 16 years, but it's probably only one, because debate should be allowed to happen. And the leader of this council, leader of a minority struggling group, has the nerve, Chair, to move that debate do not continue. He has the right to do it. He has done it. But if he wants the cooperation of the Liberal group, it's got to be done on a cooperative basis. And we have opposed them but didn't go berserk over Wentworth Street car park, iEasy, and the bullying issue. But we didn't nail them with things which we could have done. If that is the approach of cutting out debate that they want, so be it. But I don't think it bodes well along the lines of Councillor Burr was
Councillor
saying.
Councillor Clark, I gave you a little leeway.
Yes, I'm grateful for that, sir.
And it's
I'm
not really personal, but you, I've given you the leeway, I'm going to take it away.
I finished it.
No, thank you. Now then, bear with me, because you will appreciate that the motion has been amended three times. We have attempted to collate it into what we're going to be voting on now. So I'll read it out. And I will give people, the movers of the amendments, a chance just to correct me if I get it wrong. So here we go. In October 2015, Rydale District Council approved a motion calling for a moratorium of 5 years on fracking. Whilst there is still time to run on this moratorium, we now have a new council, and it would seem appropriate to review our position. There is still much debate and discussion on hydraulic fracturing, and no definitive answers on many of the implications in the process. Given this, and taking into consideration the importance of tourism and the natural environment to people and the local economy, Rydale District Council should extend the moratorium indefinitely, review in 2050 in climate change terms. As before, the position to be reconsidered if sufficient evidence becomes available on the impact in the process. The Council would wish to put on record its thanks to the councillors who have fought against fracking in the courts and at the public examination into the North Yorkshire Minerals Plan, and to everybody who has contributed to the anti-fracking cause, including members of the public who engaged in lawful direct action. This council requests the leader of the council write to the government stating this position. Are we all happy we understand what we're voting on now? Councillor Delaney.
Mr. Chairman, as a seconder, do I get a chance to speak as I reserve my right before the vote?
It's already been moved and seconded that we go directly to the vote. Members, please vote now.
Chair, is that correct? And even if it is correct, can we please stop doing this trick? Because it's stopping Councillor Delaney from speaking, which is totally wrong.
Councillor Clark, I'm just getting some advice from my left. If you just bear with me again, please.
It is, yeah.
I am incorrect in saying that we go immediately to the vote. What we will vote on now is the motion that the question be put. You understand that is what we're doing now, Ms. Councillors?
That's my understanding.
So we are going to vote on whether we go to the question now.
I wasn't sure if someone's reserved their right, whether they should be allowed to speak or not. I'm not sure.
Well, the advice is now that as you have put the question, which has been seconded, we will go to that vote that the question be put, right? So, and it looks like you're wanting the named vote. So what we are voting, the councillors, I will repeat it just so we're all clear in what we're doing here. Is that all right? What we're voting on now is that the question be put. We will then go to the substantive motion as amended. Are we all happy what we're doing? Please vote now.
We're just...
Chairman, that's 20 votes for, 5 against and 1 abstention.
The motion is carried with the motion. The question will be put. I will read out again the motion as amended. If I can have your attention, please, around the room. Councillor Duncan.
It's just to ask again, Mr Chairman, whether if someone has reserved their right, they should be allowed to speak, and also do we typically return to the mover of the motion in these circumstances? I'm not sure. I'm asking the question.
I believe, in fact, it's such a definite thing that you have, call it a guillotine, if you like, the question is going to be put. So I will read out the motion as amended. Again, bear with me. In October 2015... Sorry, have we... My understanding is that the question has been put and we voted on it and that's where we're going. In October 2015, Rydale District Council approved a motion calling for a moratorium of 5 years on fracking. Whilst there's still time to run on this moratorium, we now have a new council and it would seem appropriate to review our position. There is still much debate and discussion on hydraulic fracturing and no definitive answers on the many implications of the process. Given this and taking into consideration the importance of tourism and the natural environment to people and the local economy, Rydale District Council should extend the moratorium indefinitely, review in 2050 in climate change terms, as before the position to be reconsidered if sufficient evidence becomes available on the impact of the process. The Council would wish to put on record its thanks to the councillors who have fought against fracking in the courts and at the public examination into the North Yorkshire Minerals Plan, and to everybody who has contributed to the anti-fracking cause, including members of the public who engaged in lawful direct action. This council requests the leader of the council write to the government stating this position. Are we all clear on what we're voting for?
Point of order, Chair. I believe at this point, still to allow Councillor Delaney to speak, that I could move and will move the suspension of standing orders for the sole purpose of him getting his reply, he's getting his seconding in despite his leader's impatience, and then we can hear Councillor Delaney and then move to where you are now.
I'm looking around the room. There is a consensus that Councillor Delaney be heard, so I don't think we need to go into the
We're going into consensus. We had it moved by our leader that we.
Councillor Clark, the wish is for Councillor Delaney to be heard.
I understand that. That's why I'm moving the suspension of standing orders. And you're ignoring that.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at the room as a consensus and I'm taking a decision from the chair.
I'm looking round
and there are people and I can see people nodding and smiling, people not shaking their heads and wanting to delay it.
Chair, it may not be when they're nodding and smiling. If I've moved that we should suspend standing orders, I can't see on what basis you ignore that.
I'm not ignoring it. I'm wanting to get the meeting moving and the wish is that Councillor Delaney be heard. Councillor Delaney, please, you may speak as seconder.
Thank you very much, Mr Chairman. I think there's a huge expectation on this speech now. So I want to agree with Councillor Burr. As a new member, it's fantastic that there's such a broad consensus from everybody around this chamber for this motion. I also do find it is a shame that as a new member, there are some members of this group, this council, that are using it as a political point scoring mechanism. I appreciate Councillor Clark's intervention very much, allowing me to speak. The main thing I wanted to say this evening was that this should be seen as a first step. What we're doing is we're taking fracking off the table. We're saying what we don't want this evening. What we now need to do is come together as a council and say what we do want and how we're going to meet our energy needs. There's a huge amount of experience, enthusiasm and expertise around this council and around the chamber. And this council needs to come up with some real long-term solutions. Rydale District Council, in my opinion, should take the lead and invest our resources in delivering a renewables revolution for Rydale. We know that fracking is not the answer, but we need to present a viable, credible alternative to create a low-carbon and sustainable economy. By voting for this motion tonight, we can ensure that the focus remains solely on delivering long-term solutions to meet our energy needs. Thank you.
Does anybody wish to hear the motion again as amended? Then, members, please vote now.
Chairman, that's 18 votes for and 8 abstentions.
The motion as amended is carried. Thank you, everybody. We will then go back to the agenda to the leader's statement, item 9. Councillor Duncan, would you present your statement, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just finding my statement, just bear with me.
Would anyone like a quick break? We've had quite an intense period for an hour and a half. Does anyone want 10 minutes just to stretch the legs?
I would say 5 minutes, Mr. Chair.
5 minutes? Does anybody? We'll have 5 minutes. No, I'm all right. Thank you. Take a stretch.
Could I get a stretch?
You might. That's a prison term.
Too much coffee.
Sorry, are these the minutes of these?
Do they need to sign at the end of the annex?
I think sign at the end of the main minutes, but just
initial. Initial every page. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to go for a visit.
5th today, isn't it? Well, Janet, what do you reckon to that? 4 amendments.
Just for the sake of getting his name in
there. Yeah.
His press career, his public career, it's so frustrating sitting here for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Business?
I'm doing my best, Janet.
I know. It's so frustrating. I think we ought to change the constitution that people can only put one amendment.
Well, that's quite
a... Get all his
it was, yeah. It does really, doesn't it?
Can't be bothered to,
yeah.
You know, it would extend this council, would it be until 2:00
Any time after 10:00 you can see behaviour and the standard of debate fall off the table, can't you?
That was a bad call, I went to drop on it, just a special standing orders. It wasn't a standing order to prevent Chris from speaking, it was the vote that the council had just taken.
I very rarely take a chairman's point of view, but thanks. No, you was just, well, it's not over yet. Can we be rising ourselves again, please? Can we be taking our seats now, please, everybody? Are we all back? Councillor Clark? Councillor... Thank you, Simon. Councillor Duncan? I call upon you to make your leader's statement.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My statement is there as read. People can read my statement. I'm sure they've got questions ready. However, there are a few small additions I would like to make, and they're actually thank yous to some people, members of this council. The first is Councillor Andrews, Councillor Paul Andrews, for meeting with me to discuss the Milton Rooms and giving me an insight into the work that is going on there. Thank you to him for that. He intended to ask me a question on the Milton Rooms and gave me advance notice of it, even though it wasn't part of my statement, and I said that I would give him a commitment that there will be a report on the Milton Rooms coming to the next meeting of Policy and Resources. That will be there, and I can give you that assurance, Councillor Andrews. I hope that's sufficient. I'm, again, doing that outside of my intended statement, but just seeing as you asked me so nicely for that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. The second is actually to Councillor Thackeray for inviting me to the beautiful village of Broby. Gave me an excellent welcome. And thank you to him for that. Discussed lots of different items in the spirit of trying to listen to everybody around this council chamber. And finally, I would like to say thank you to the deputy leader of this council, Councillor Arnold, who maybe doesn't quite get as much recognition as I think he deserves. We're several months into this council, and I'd like to say thank you to him for the support that he's given me so far as deputy leader of this council. The rest of my statement is there as read, and I look forward to the questions that members would like to ask me.
Members are invited to ask questions. I'm looking around. Councillor Joy Andrews, and followed by Councillor Burr.
Councillor Duncan, are you confident in the accuracy of the word stays in the first paragraph of your statement?
That is the word that I intended to put there, but I understand the point that you're trying to make in that for many people in this district, being able to live here is difficult. Getting onto the property ladder is difficult. In certain areas of this district, I would say that it's more or less impossible for someone in this district to find somewhere to live. I'm talking about some of the more rural areas where there hasn't been, I think, significant house building taking place. There are limited options for people to be able to find a home. I take on board your point, and I hope I've addressed that in my answer.
Do you have a supplementary?
So, are you saying in that answer that the normal meaning of the word stays, you believe that housing is not affordable in this area?
If you look at the average wage in this district and you look at the average cost of a house, that ratio is one of the highest in the country, and that presents a significant issue which we need to address.
Councillor Burr.
Yes, thank you. I was reading the paragraph on economic development, and I was thinking about our market towns. And as you will be aware, that some residents are suffering real hardship in Rydale, and our food banks in our towns are under extreme pressure to help these residents. And would you agree Would the leader agree that it's a very sad state of affairs that we find ourselves in Rydale? My question to the leader is, would it be possible that this council building could have a deposit bin for, say, tins, etc., etc., because there are not a lot of people who pass through this building. There are a lot of vulnerable residents out there, and this council and members, etc., could contribute quite easily to our food banks. So would he agree with me that we should do this?
Thank you, Councillor Burr, for your question. I think the idea of a deposit bin inside of this building is an interesting one, which I think we could and should look at. I've learnt quite a lot about food banks, particularly in the Rydale area, from my colleague Councillor McKenzie, who I don't know exactly what his title is, but he's very involved with food banks in the Rydale area, and I've learnt a lot from him. The idea that you put forward, I think, should be explored.
Supplementary?
No, just to say thank you, and I think that everybody will welcome that, and I think that we will be able to help an awful lot of people in Rydale.
Any other questions? Councillor Paul Andrews to start with.
Yeah, just to come to Councillor Duncan's comments on the Milton Rooms. Could you just confirm that the reports that he's referring that will be brought to the next meeting of Policy and Resources will deal specifically with the application for funds for the refurbishing of the toilets and the foyer areas, please?
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. All I've been told by our officers is that a report will be there as requested and as promised at a previous meeting of this council. The points that you have raised about it's the funding for the toilets and also the events manager position that you mentioned previously, that will be, I presume, referenced in the report that will come to Policy and Resources.
Supplementary?
Yeah. Could I ask Councillor Duncan to make very sure that this does actually happen, please?
The simple answer, Councillor Andrews, is yes.
Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Chair. Just for myself and other new members, it's to do with the A64 Growth Partnership in terms of transparency and accountability. Could you just enlighten us, please, who Tom Paul is? I mean, obviously his position is mentioned there, but in terms of how his position has come about, if he's elected and if he's remunerated for that position. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Watts, for your question. Tom Paul is a successful businessman, the chief executive of Kingspan over down the A64. He was elected to that position by the A64 Growth Partnership. How its membership has come about, I don't know, but I was invited to it. I chaired the first meeting. I don't know who decided that, but the general consensus was that the A64 project, whether you agree with it or not, should be driven by businesses who will be most affected by it. And that was the view of the A64 Growth Partnership. The membership of that includes representatives from the County Council, representatives from this council, representatives of the tourist sector, and of course business as well. I think the host organisation for that is North Yorkshire County Council and the LEP, who seem to do most of the secretarial and preparation work for those meetings. If you require further information, I can ask of how it's come about, but that's the information that I know at this present time.
Do you have a supplementary?
Yeah, please. Just about the remuneration as well, please. Thank you.
I forgot to reference that. My understanding is that no member of the A64 Growth Partnership is remunerated. That has never been mentioned to me, and I imagine that it would have been when we had that discussion at the time, but that's my understanding.
Councillor Ryan.
Thank you. Please forgive me again as a new councillor. I just wondered if I'm allowed to actually ask regarding the A64, why there's nothing in your statement mentioning the climate change or mentioning, obviously, Highfield Road, what's happening there. And I just wondered if I'm allowed to ask you why there's nothing mentioned in your statement.
The statement seeks to make the most important points as I see it at the moment, and give an update to council about where things stand. As I've stated in there, I'm not too confident that we are going to receive the funding this time to dual the A64, as this council resolved that we'd like to fight for. Your particular points about Highfield Road, it's not in there. I can get you more information on that if you'd like. And the other point that you made, I can't remember what the other point was, I apologise, climate change. We had that extensive debate here. I'm not sure that I'm in a position to be able to answer that, but the view of this council quite strongly was that we backed the dualling of the A64, and that's what, as leader, I'm trying to fight to do on behalf of this council.
Do you have a supplementary, Councillor Cochrane?
Yes, thank you. It was just basically because to me, when we've discussed before that climate change, as we all know, is extremely important. But there's nothing mentioning on your statement, and also how important, and I do know it's North Yorkshire County Council, but I would have liked to have read a little bit that you are concerned and there is an update and what's happening regarding Highfield Road. Thank you.
Councillor Clark, followed by Councillor Goodrick.
I'd like to, as you've allowed it earlier, to preempt my question by thanking Councillor Thackeray for not inviting me to Broadby. It gave me a little extra time that I wouldn't have had. I think if you look at the growth partnership, there is an answer to Councillor Rain's question there. And the answer is in the word growth. Because unless we reduce our usage, climate change is finished. It won't be an emergency, it'll be a disaster that we can't stop. So I find it strange, to you, Chair, to Councillor Duncan, that he was chair of this organisation, but he didn't know how it came about, and he doesn't know who set it up. But we don't know how he got on there. But presumably, he got on there by some system. And it seems surprising that whoever got on there didn't have the time to explain to him what it was about and why he was chairing it. But he's no longer chairing it. So on that basis, can you please explain to me how... Oh, I'll ignore the businessmen... The most successful group of entrepreneurs in this country, I hope you would agree with me, Councillor Duncan, are women. So it should be business people, not business men. But that aside, could you please explain how growth is going to fit in with climate change and reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, etc., in terms of this partnership that he is part of, even if he doesn't know much about it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I think it's worth reminding members of this council that the Liberal group, including Councillor Clark, led by Councillor Clark, is opposed to the dualling of the A64, voted against the motion that we brought to the last full council, proposing that we should fight as best as we can to dual the A64. He wants to put on hold and stunt the growth of this district in terms of its economy, and I think that's a great shame. We put forward that so that I could go to external meetings and state the importance that we feel as a council that the A64 will have on the economic fortunes of this district. There are a whole host of issues with the A64, not just in terms of the economy, safety issues, potentially environmental issues, which you have raised, but they have all got to be taken as part of a big picture, and that is that the A64 is probably the most important piece of infrastructure that we could fight for as a council. And I will say again that we are not ashamed, the Conservative group are not ashamed to fight for this as strongly as we possibly can. As for the A64 growth partnership, I was asked to chair the first meeting, given that it hadn't met in a while. It is, as I say, set up with the LEP, through the LEP, and also North Yorkshire County Council provides officer support to that growth partnership.
A supplementary?
Yes, Chair, the supplementary is really. I wonder if he's going to answer my question, as which I asked in the main question, and Councillor Rain asked, and he appears to have so far managed to successfully ignore it, how do you reconcile growth with our climate change policy, which involves reducing our greenhouse gas emissions? Because if he can answer that one and tell us how it is done, that is world-breaking, shattering. The leading scientist in this country that retired this last week made the point that you couldn't have growth and reduction in greenhouse gas impact unless you were very careful and worked purely in areas reducing greenhouse gases. So on that basis, how does he justify growth, and how is he going to reconcile that? And I realise it's the third time he's been asked, but if he hasn't answered it twice, we might try again. How does he reconcile growth with our climate change policy, i.e. reduction in greenhouse gases?
This district, I think, has got to develop sustainably, but I'll go back to the broader point. At the last full council meeting, this council spent a significant amount of time weighing up the various benefits, positives, negatives of fighting to dual the A64. And the judgment of this council, including some people who have asked questions about the environmental impacts, they voted in favour of this council fighting to dual the A64. That is the position that this council has, and that is the position that I will represent externally at meetings and will do my utmost to deliver. That's the answer to Councillor Clark's question.
Councillor Goodrick, I have you.
Thank you, Chairman. Would the Leader agree with me, please, that the A64 is of paramount importance to growth and economic development? Would he also agree with me that the evolution of the electric car, hydrogen cars, self-charging vehicles actually might reduce the impact of fossil fuels used in cars on the A64? Now, we're a long way from all vehicles being electric or self-charging or hydrogen or whatever. We're also quite a long way from getting the A64 dualled. So I'm hoping by the time we get there, the impact will be reduced. Does the Council Leader agree with this statement?
Thank you, Councillor Goodrick. I would completely agree with what you have just said. It is worth pointing out that this Council has directly supported the infrastructure required for electric vehicles. We have received grant funding to install electric charging points in our car parks. They are not going to solve all of the environmental questions that we face, but we are doing, I think, our bit to ensure that we develop as sustainably as possible. Environmental considerations are important, but there are a whole host of very important considerations that we also need to make. I've referenced some of those already. And as I say, the view of this council very strongly was that they wanted to see the A64 dualled as soon as possible.
Supplementary, Councillor Goodrick. Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Reference the housing section where it says our local plan is now sealed and we're lucky as an authority to have a plan stretching to 2027. So I'd personally like to thank the planning committee and, of course, the officers for this stroke of luck. And does the Leader believe that the planning committee have made their own luck? Or our own luck, should I say?
I'm struggling to understand the question that you put forward, Councillor Potter, but I will reiterate what I've said in my statement, hopefully in a bid to clarify, that many authorities around the country do not have a local plan. Some are still fighting very bitterly to have one. We do have one. I think that's an achievement for this council. And we do have to pay credit to the members that have been involved with that, the officers that have been involved with it too. And that's I think my answer to your question, Councillor Potter.
Supplementary?
Just to point out that I don't believe there's any luck involved in having a plan. It just takes good organisation and getting the job done. Thank you.
I'm happy to concur with Councillor Potter's point there. There has had to be compromise, deliberation, sometimes tense. Some people not happy with the local plan that we have got. Some people feel that it is not what they would look for in a local plan. But the point I'm trying to make is that at least we have got a local plan, and obviously very soon we will start the review of the local plan.
Thank you, members. I haven't anybody else wanting to ask questions. Looking around again, in which case, thank you, Leader. We'll move on to item 10. To consider for approval the recommendations in respect to the following Part B committee items. Minute 28, funding for Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton flood alleviation scheme, which you'll find on page 31 of your papers. Would Councillor Duncan please briefly introduce this recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation that has come from Policy and Resources Committee. I'd like to point out that this was a unanimous decision that the committee made to allocate this funding. I'm happy to elaborate further and take questions. I think my colleague, Councillor Arnold, is prepared to second the motion, the recommendation to Council.
If that is seconded by Councillor Arnold, thank you. Are there any questions for Councillor Duncan? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. You are right that it was unanimous, but you must also acknowledge that there was an awful lot of debate that went around this paper that came to us about, obviously, Yorkshire Water not stepping up to their mark and not helping us, but actually hindering us. So, yes, I voted for it, but I voted for it with a heavy heart because I do feel that we are being let down by Yorkshire Water. And as we mentioned, walking through raw sewerage, we mentioned it probably about 10 times at the PNR meeting, and we said that this was not good enough and why should our residents be subject to this? So, yes, councillors, it is unanimous, but please be aware that there was an awful lot of debate that we agreed that we were not happy with Yorkshire Water. Thank you.
I think I saw somebody want to... Sorry, I want an answer.
Question there from Councillor Burr. It seemed more like a statement, but there was questions raised about Yorkshire Water, and we heard the answer back from the lead officer from North Yorkshire County Council, Emily Mellery, that... in her opinion, there is no statutory responsibility that Yorkshire Water is not fulfilling with regards to the context of this scheme. There may well be other responsibilities which Yorkshire Water is not fulfilling, and I'm happy to point out that there is a meeting arranged with the new Chief Executive of Yorkshire Water, who will be meeting with our Chief Executive very soon in the future. And I would advise that members who have got specific concerns or questions speak to our Chief Executive in advance of that meeting and ask her to raise those directly at the very top level within Yorkshire Water.
I think I had Councillor Potter for a question, followed by Councillor Thackeray.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This may be a bit detailed that you may not be able to answer, but with regard to local flood warning procedures, telemetry, CCTV, etc., how is this going to be monitored, by whom, and will that sort of thing be publicly available? Thank you.
I was trying to locate the specific section that you're referring to, Councillor Potter. I don't know if you've got a page reference at all.
Well,
to aid other members.
It's at the top of page 35 in the bullets, but I think there was more detail somewhere else, but I can't remember where.
I think the important thing to point out at this stage, as far as I'm aware, is that there is an outline as to what this funding will deliver within the budget that we are agreeing to, but the specifics of the scheme are still to be worked out by technical experts, of which I am not. I'm sure that if you want to submit that question, that the officers of this council will get you a technical answer from those people with regards to that. I apologise that I can't answer it at this point.
Councillor Thackeray.
Yes, I'd like to propose an amendment, please. Which is that right?
Certain questions actually need to get wait until we get into debate, but I'll come back to you if there are no more questions.
Okay, I'll ask a question. A very specific question. Sorry, I'm very difficult because I need to read what it says here. We're in the land of experts, and I would question that. We were sent a members' briefing about a week ago, or 2 weeks ago. Members' briefing paper, 16th of August, 2019. On the subject of experts, there's a rather ironic introduction. Since the construction of the River Derwent flood defences in 2002, which I'll just add cost £7 million, the communities in Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton have been subject to flooding. I don't think I need to read any more. That's what you get when you pay experts £7 million quid to develop a flood defence scheme that causes your residents to be flooded. I have an amendment.
We will get back to you when we're in debate.
I do, thank you.
Are there any other questions before Councillor Riby?
I think it's a question, Chairman. A fortnight ago, I walked down the Derwent from the car park near the station and observed the condition of the watercourse. It's clogged, there's trees falling in it. It's not been dredged for several years. It used to be dredged, I assume. But I asked the question, and I didn't know Simon was going to ask make the statement he just did, whether we've found it around with a problem, which is the water can't get down the river and escape from the area. We put a very expensive scheme in to protect Moulton, which has done quite the opposite, probably, because the water can't run into the river, and the defences were to stop the water running out of the river, and yet the river can't run very, very efficiently because it's clogged up. And I suggest that we really should go right back with the Environmental Agency and go back to the old policy of dredging.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure that's a question, but there were some points in there. Quite rightly, Councillor Rabies pointed out that it's the Environment Agency that are responsible for our watercourses and the River Derwent and their maintenance. I'm not sure about the policy on dredging. I can't give you any viewpoint or any answer on that. One point I would like to pick up on, though, is about the flood defences that we have got in Moulton and Norton. It took several years to get those flood defences in place, and I understand the concerns that people have raised about their effectiveness or otherwise, but I do remember as a 4-year-old child walking to the River Derwent when the floods first happened in 1999, we didn't have the flood defences in place at that point. To say that they've done quite the opposite to preventing flooding, I think, is maybe too grand a statement. I think they have done quite a lot to stop many properties from flooding, I just want to say that I wonder what would happen if we didn't have those flood defences in place, although I understand the concerns that people have raised about some aspects of their design.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Would Councillor Duncan confirm that the flood prevention works which we are talking about in this report is to supplement the flood defences which have already been installed in Moulton and Norton in order to make it possible for water which cannot get into the river because of the flood defences in order to make it possible that that water can effectively be pumped into the river?
I believe parts of the scheme, Councillor Andrews, are to improve the drainage into the river. However, other parts of the scheme are to protect properties, provide the resilience that they need from flooding if it happens. They are the properties most close to the River Derwent in Castlegate, St Nicholas Street and Church Street, which still are suffering from the effects of flooding periodically. So there's a mixture, is my understanding, between property level protection and also trying to improve the drainage kind of from a street scene kind of level into the River Derwent.
Supplementary? No. I don't see anybody else wanting to ask questions, in which case, Councillor Duncan, if you'd move your motion, and once it's seconded, you may make your speech.
I'm happy to move that, and Councillor Reynolds indicated he's happy to second it. I'll keep this quite brief. There was a scheme that was put forward that was more costly than the one that is before us tonight. A lot of work has gone into that, and it's been realised that many aspects of that were not viable and were not able to be taken forward without significantly greater expense. What is coming forward tonight is a revised scheme, but nonetheless one that will have significant benefits to those people who still suffer from flooding in the Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton area. The contribution that we are making to the scheme is the same percentage as before, 20%. The total there, 320,000. I think the beauty and the thing that we need to commend with the report that's come before us is the fact that we've been able to access funding from various different sources. Some of that funding, I think, is still to be worked on, but the deadline that we're looking at is December of this year. All of the funding then, I think, will be in place and this scheme will become a reality. And that's something that I think we should be proud of in terms of partnership working and playing our part in protecting the properties that suffer, sadly, from flooding.
Councillor Arnold has seconded. Do you wish to speak now?
I will, thank you. I actually agree with Councillor Burr. I don't believe that Yorkshire Water is doing its duty. And I think we should all write and tell them that they're not doing their job. I'm not going to reiterate what Councillor Duncan said, but I fully support this proposal. This is new homes bonus money, which is Moulton and Norton money, and I think it's a great proposal and we should all support it as we have in the past.
Does anybody wish to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Thackeray, thank you.
Could you read it out, please?
I will, and I think you've already circulated it, but I'll read it.
Yes, I hope. I've circulated the background, yeah.
The recommendation. 2.1 to recommend to Council a 20% contribution towards the Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton Flood Alleviation Scheme, MNOMFAS, up to a maximum of £320,000 from the new homes bonus reserve on condition that the temporary diesel-powered pump deployments on Castlegate, Sheepfoot Hill and Chandler's Wharf Moulton be replaced by the installation of permanent three-phase electrically powered pumps in order to protect the health of the public by preventing exposure to dangerous concentration of nitrogen oxide. And that is seconded by Councillor Burr. Councillor Thackeray, would you move your motion?
Yes, just to clarify, it's nitrogen dioxide. I think you might have said nitrogen oxide. Okay. I don't know whether members around the table have already had the chance to read my background to this. It's a very short background because I've only got 3 minutes. Just to pick up on the fact that the deployment of diesel pumps introduces a source of nitrogen dioxide which basically poisons the people at the bottom of Castlegate without them realising it, because nitrogen dioxide is invisible and tasteless and odourless. And in December 2012, as reported by the environmental health officers at Rydal District Council, the level of nitrogen dioxide, which is written here as 68, the legally binding limit is 40, but in actual fact that's a rounded down figure, it's an adjusted figure, an average figure. And all I am really requesting is that this council acts with the health and safety and well-being of the people of Moulton in their mind, and substitutes the powering of these pumps, which are a complete joke in themselves, by electricity rather than by diesel. Because all the diesel engine on the pumps is to power the pump. it's purely because they are a temporary deployed device that they are independently powered by diesel. And basically it's what we in Broby call half a job. What should be happening is that permanent pumps are installed, which would automatically kick in, trigger. There would not have to be a pump deployment scheme in Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton if the people in charge did the job properly and installed permanent pumps. I appreciate that's not what's been planned, because very little of what's been planned is to do anything, to repeat what Councillor Arnold said, to write to Yorkshire Water is a very, very good idea, but I suggest it comes from an environmental lawyer who knows what they're talking about and not by reference to North Yorkshire County Council. Anyway, I don't know whether in Rydale this I commend this motion to the House, but I commend my amendment to this chamber, and I hope you will vote for it to protect the health of the residents of Rydale. Thank you.
Councillor Burr, do you wish to say
you can speak applaud if you want.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yes, I'm really happy to support the amendment. As I said, at PNR, we talked a long, long time about the reasons and the why fors about Castlegate needing the defences. And I did spend some time explaining to the new members that we'd spent years and years and years getting this plan to fruition. And the last thing that I would ever want to do was wreck the plan. However, we can strengthen the plan. And I think that we need to thank members and our officers for working up to this plan and for actually getting this money to us. 20% of funding, which equates to £320,000, is brilliant, and we shouldn't knock that. It's absolutely great for the residents, and it's great in the Moulton ward. And tonight we've talked a lot about climate change and emissions, and we've talked with the leader of the council about being a serious new council and recognising that we have to put our money where our mouth is and do something about it instead of just saying same old, same old. So we've been rolling out the pumps for quite a while now, and you know that I've been saying for quite a while that we really could do with permanent pumps and blah, blah, blah. And now we are here with something tangible on the table that maybe you could think about supporting. So we're well aware that Butcher Corner and Castlegate is a toxic nightmare, whether you like it or not. Unfortunately, it is, and it is a significant threat to public health. And as we all say, and we say it, but do we mean it, air quality must be a priority for our residents' health and well-being. And also, we must comply with the government's air quality strategy. That's if we've still got the same government tonight, I hope we have. We must ensure the welfare of the residents. So let's hope that you can think that this is a sensible amendment. It's not something, you know, that's crazy. It's something that's actually going to be really, really good for the residents, and it's going to reduce those toxins. So I hope we support. Thank you.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to shock anybody, and you've accepted it in the previous submission, but I hope we haven't got the same government that we had earlier tonight. But, you know, all people are welcome to their own tastes, and on that basis, you know, there we are. I can't say, I mean, I haven't actually been offered a backing Boris sticker badge yet, but no doubt somebody at some point will offer me one, and it'll be on environmentally sound materials, I'm sure.
Yes.
I would. We think this is a good motion with amendment, but with one snag to it, and that is we don't know where the three phase is, etc. And on that basis, and the mover and this, if they're in agreement with the seconder of the amendment, if they accept that, provided we receive an officer's report on the cost stroke practicality of three-phase motors. In other words, provided it fits in, makes common sense, and along with Councillor Thackeray, I have a great fear of experts, but equally bluntly, I do prefer that a doctor has some medical qualification rather than one afternoon somebody just giving it a whirl, as it were, and saying, see how this goes, and if it doesn't work, well, never mind. So there is a role for experts, so I do think there's more information that is needed here. And if he will accept that, and there is a time scale with which that could be done and fitted in and won't delay it at all, because when we come to the main motion, the climate change impact of this, I gave my word that much as we would scream for it to be done in terms, we would not delay it or stop it or weaken the chance of the 20%. So if you will accept and amend your amendment, because only you two can amend your amendment, i.e. add the words to it, that provided we receive a positive officer's report on the cost stroke practicality of three-phase pumps, then we're with you.
Not just a moment, we're still going through the debate. I have Councillor Docker. You will have a chance to reply immediately to that. Councillor Docker.
It's very difficult to support anything without a clear understanding of the cost implications. Had you come to us with a breakdown of the costs and a breakdown of that, but we, you know, air quality is extremely important. But is that, are we taking out the money out of the 320,000 to pay for this? Is the cost of the pumps, the cost of the three-phase installation, the housing of these pumps? And I think to ask us to vote for anything where we have absolutely no idea what the cost is, I can't support it.
Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's worth just pointing out that the £320,000, as I understand it, does not include the purchase of any new pumps, be that diesel or electric. So it would be the replacement of the existing diesel pumps at an additional cost that we don't know how much that might be. A diesel pump, I'm told, costs roughly £20,000. An electric pump may cost more, may cost less, may not be available or relevant or applicable to that location. I don't know. But one point I would like to pick up on, that is that Councillor Burr's comments that she really is happy to support the amendment, that it's not crazy, that it reduces noise and reduces emissions, that there has been pumps deployed at this location, and it's the same old as we've had before. Councillor Burr has supported directly with her locality budget the purchase, this is from the North Yorkshire County Council, the purchase of diesel pumps in Moulton and in Broby, a total of £5,000. They are pumps that I think are in existence at the moment, and they were bought in 2016, and it would be replacing pumps that may already have been purchased and in place, and I think we have to look at very seriously how much this is going to cost and whether...
Can we just have a bit of quiet, please, and allow the councillor to be heard?
And whether we want to replace pumps which were bought perhaps the most recently as 2016, which do help the flood support that we've got for Moulton and Norton. It's a serious point and a serious question. What Councillor Clark has put forward in terms of his amendment, which is an officer report, going to, I hope, policy and resources, and then on to this council if required, to see what the costs will be and whether it's the right thing to do. I think that could be a way forward, which I think we will be happy to support, but it's the principle that we want to explore this in detail to see exactly what the implications might be. If that's accepted, then we may well be happy to vote for that.
Councillor Burr, I have Councillor Paul Andrews. Is it a personal explanation? Thank you.
Proud to say that I have supported and given my locality budget to stop flooding in Broby and in Moulton and to stop the Broby residents walking through excrement, and I am very, very proud. However, this is to improve and make something better, so it's a point that you needed to clarify, and you actually were just a little bit wrong with the truth there, but I am extremely ecstatically delighted
to say that I have supported with my locality budget.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. I share people's distrust of experts, because experts, if you're not careful, they will come up with a scheme and they will try and make it as expensive as possible, because then they cream off a percentage of it. It happens in to architects, it happens in to engineers, generally speaking, the public are in their hands and we can't do anything about it. What was basically needed at the Sells Lane in Old Malton was some permanent pumps and a permanent pump house to pump water out of them, to pump water that was building up. To pump water that was building up behind the flood defences, to pump that water into the River Derwent. It sounded to me a very simple thing, but of course, when the experts got at it, instead of saying, well, let's look at the straightforward, simple thing to do, they said, well, we won't buy a little mini that will actually do the job, that will take you from one place to another. They'll buy a huge Rolls Royce, which has probably got all the latest modern conveniences in it, which will enable it to do more than the job that is really necessary. And I would have thought, Chair, that if some thought is given to that scheme, savings could be made to that scheme, which would enable permanent electric pumps to be installed, and perhaps some of the other extraneous items which the engineers have proposed could be cut or reduced, and somehow or other we could pare down the cost so we get that extra money to put in those pumps. Thank you.
Councillor Mason.
I think I'm going to be supporting this amendment. I think the last thing we need to do when we've got an HGV ban down at that part of town on air quality is to put pumps in there that are going to be pumping out diesel for 3 days, probably non-stop, and jeopardise our air quality in the area. And also, as far as I understand it, and you may be able to correct me on this, electric pumps are nearly double the efficiency of diesel pumps. Is that true?
I couldn't tell you.
I believe that's the case. So I think I will be probably be supporting the electric pumps rather than diesel.
Councillor Oxley, followed by Councillor Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. The important thing here is to get the best job we can for the money. I think the suggestion Councillor Clark is making is eminently sensible. Let's get a report, let's work out what's the best way to do it, and then let's get behind it. So if an amendment like that was to come forward, I personally would be happy to support it.
Councillor Arnold.
Thank you. We can't put a cost on the health of our residents, but I do believe we do need to know, as Councillor Clark said, what this is going to cost and how we're going to achieve it, because we don't know where the electric is coming from. We have no idea. So an officer report would be ideal, and I'd be very unhappy with myself because I've agreed with Councillor Clark.
Councillor Potter.
Control yourself.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to point out something. I'm again looking at the top of page 35, and the proposals that are being put to us include construct permanent chambers for temporary pumps. As far as I'm aware, without seeing the great detail of the scheme, which we don't seem to know, we're not actually talking about purchasing pumps. We're talking about constructing chambers for pumps, and I don't know who they will belong to. But I would still like to know whether it is feasible and workable to actually provide those chambers with a three-phase supply. Thank you.
I have nobody else wishing to speak. Before, Councillor Clark, I think you've already spoken on this amendment.
It is hopefully to help I am perfectly happy if Councillor Thackeray takes those words and takes them into his amendment. We can do that. Or, if you would prefer, and Councillor Thackeray would prefer, then we can, Councillor Thackeray can withdraw his amendment and one of us can resubmit it with those words added. Whichever way suits you best.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. With Councillor Thackeray's permission, I will put the two together, the read one into the other, I believe. I think before going to... I will go to you before going to the mover of the substantive motion. Councillor Thackeray, you please... I have.
Keen just to clarify. There is no diesel pump in Broby. No diesel pump. Electric pump. There would have been a diesel pump in Broby, but the last chief executive of this council reneged on a promise you made to me. And there are lots of other
stories. Just moderate your language, please, about people who aren't here.
I think my language, to say that the former chief executive reneged on a promise she made to me, is perfectly clear English. Okay. Councillor Arnold, I agree with you entirely. We cannot put a price on the health of the residents. And if this council receives a personal injury claim from a resident who has been harmed by the inhalation of nitrogen dioxide, I think £80,000, if that happens to be the amount, would be a pittance, a total pittance. The irony of this particular report is that it's been reduced from 3 million to 1.6 because it's what we call in Broby half a job. It's not the proper job. The deployment of temporary diesel pumps is shutting the stable door rather when the horse has bolted. For example, and I'll cite Old Moulton as the classic example. Multiple pumps deployed to relieve the village of Old Moulton of flooding. Only relatively recently specified in a North Yorkshire County Council report as not being terribly nice because it contains something not terribly savoury. Now, I've explained to the leader of this council and others that for Yorkshire Water to allow sewage to escape from its sewer is a criminal offence punishable by imprisonment. So why we are sitting around this council chamber arguing the toss about Yorkshire Water this, Yorkshire Water that, I don't know. But as I also said to the Leader of Council, I've got another 3.75 years on this council probably to find out. Anyway, meanwhile, Councillor Clark's amendment, that's a very good idea. And I'm happy with that because I think we might find, having formerly been involved in the fabrication of steel frame buildings, that Taylor and Brown's almost certainly will have a three-phase supply. The chambers that have been referred to would probably be replaced by deep chambers into which the surface water would run. They would have what are called floats.
Councillor Thackeray, we're nearly at time if you're...
Yeah, this is very educational though. There are floats in there which would trigger the pumps which would start immediately they are needed and they would be silent and they would create no emissions. So, all in all, I think it's just... a much better idea than the one that we've been proposed to begin with. I hope you support it anyway. It'll be the first of more if you do.
Thank you for that. Before going to the vote, the mover of the substantive motion can reply.
Thank you, Councillor Thackeray. As I've stated, now that your amendment has been amended, we are prepared to support it, but I want to give a further explanation about how that will take place. The point you've said about this being a better proposal than the one that's been put forward, there is no proposal in here to purchase pumps. This would be an additional cost, an additional purchase to what is proposed within the scheme that we are putting the £320,000 into. That's why it seems sensible that we look at, is this possible? How much is it going to cost? How does it fit in with the current scheme that we've got on the table? And what are the benefits or what maybe might be the negatives of that? And make a weighed up decision on the balance of all those different factors. So we are prepared to support it. But I do want to say that this is in addition to the £320,000. We're committing that. We're hoping to get the partnership funding. There's a time limit and time sensitivity to that. We don't want to jeopardise that main scheme. So this is in addition. And it could be that if we decide to go down this path, that partnership funding is not available to fund the pumps, and we would have to fund that directly ourselves. That will come out, I suppose, in any report that we get to PNR and then to perhaps onto this council at a later point. So I think it's worth just pointing that out, that this is in addition to the scheme. I don't want to jeopardise what we've got on the table, because I think there is that broad consensus that this is the right thing to do. But I'm happy for Policy and Resources to receive a report to look at this and make a decision based on all of the facts. So thank you, Councillor Thackeray, for your amendment. We'll see if there's any others in the 3.75 years that you've got, which I will support. Thank you very much.
I'll read out the amendment. 2.1, to recommend to Council a 20% contribution to the Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton Flood Alleviation Scheme, MNOMFAS, up to a maximum of £320,000 from the new homes bonus reserve, on condition that the temporary diesel-powered pump deployments on Castlegate, Sheepfoot Hill, Chandler's Wharf, Moulton be replaced by the installation of permanent three-phase electrically powered pumps in order to protect the health of the public by preventing exposure to dangerous concentrations of nitrogen dioxide, provided we receive a positive report on the costs and practicality of three-phase pumps. Are we all clear on what we're voting for? This is the amendment. Members, please vote now.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Unanimous means it's carried. Thank you, everybody. We go back to the substantive vote. And does anybody wish to speak? We have Councillor Potter followed by Councillor Clark.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This is just on the basis that I haven't had an opportunity to speak on this as it's gone through PNR. But I have seen this whole business develop from its inception over quite a significant length of time. And I'm very pleased that we've got a report in front of us that is worthy, certainly worthy of support, because a lot of work has gone into getting it this far, quite simply because there is so little government funding available. So it's been a case of scraping it up from various places. Now, in page 35, paragraph 6.7, I'm aware, acutely aware, that it says combination of partners, North Yorkshire, Environment Agency, the LEP, RDC, and it strikes me that those are all public bodies. So this is all public cost, and I can't help but wonder why there's no private investment in this when we have Yorkshire Water. Now, I was going to mention the elephant in the room, but it's already been mentioned by several people, and I think it's less of an elephant in the room as a sacred cow. Now, Yorkshire Water, a key element of local flooding is sewage. Everybody here pays for their sewage to be treated, but mysteriously, every time there's a flood, it's no longer Yorkshire Water's property. They've bought it, or we've sold it to them to deal with it, and it's no longer theirs. The maximum impact on the time of people out of flooded properties, it comes about through sewage. When the sewage is in the water, that's what makes it really serious, keeps people out of their houses for months, if not years, on occasion, makes it very difficult to deal with. We have a huge number of combined sewers which means that all the surface water that comes off the roofs, comes off the roads, it gets mixed in with the sewage, the foul water from our houses. That is a big problem because it's ancient infrastructure. And every time we get a lot of surface water, it mixes in, there goes the sewage, it's no longer Yorkshire Water's business. Now, as far as I'm aware, there's no new capacity in the sewage treatment works in either Pickering or Moulton since the 1970s, and I think we're all aware of how much development...
We're at time, Councillor Potter, if you'd like to...
So, yes, I will sum up by saying I'm just getting so fed up of Yorkshire Water being a sacred cow and nobody wants to touch them, and I can't help but wonder why. Thank you.
Councillor Clark, you indicated...
Yes, Chair, I'd like to add my appreciation to the collective view on the Yorkshire Water. I have heard of discussions, no offence to the present Chief Executive, between Chief Executives and or all over the place in relation to flooding, in relation to sewage, in relation to all Yorkshire Water's responsibilities, and so far... The only thing that seems to work is when the government comes along and fines them a few million for not doing. And it worries me quite a bit, but I find myself in agreement with Councillor Thackeray that actually, if they're breaking the law, we should be taking them to court. And if they're breaking the law, which I believe they are, we should be taking them to court on behalf of the people of Rydale, because you can't expect one individual down Swansea Lane in Pickering, for example, every time there's a good thunderstorm, they find sewage in their gardens. And they're fairly convinced they didn't leave it there the previous day, that it has in fact come up the drains, which Yorkshire Water said were big enough to take the extra building further up the road, which they aren't. To the main motion, I promised, and I'm sticking to my promise, that we said there was absolutely no climate impact assessment, and there needed to be, but in no way was I going to inflict more flooding on the people of Moulton while we waited for that. And I've written across the top of this climate change impact assessment, C plus must do better. Now that's vastly better than not having done your homework at all, which was the stage we were at. And therefore, and I don't want to be too negative and make it look as though it should be an E minus, but there's one or two things that probably need to be considered. One is the consistent use of diesel all the way through and not electricity. It may not apply in some cases, it may in others. And the one that, if you're expecting me to lift the mark up for it, comes at the end. And that is the creation of the rain garden. Right at the end, the rain garden will provide, involve planting trees, etc. It is estimated, not it does, but it is estimated that one tree planted will store 760 kilograms of carbon over its lifetime. Marvellous. Based on 40 years, whether that is lifetime or not, I have no idea. The number of trees to be planted is currently not known. No, I accept that and we'll do it. But it is, in fact, this rainwater garden, 720 kilograms times some totally unknown number. So if it's one tree, it's 720 kilograms. And if it's 1,000 trees, it's 720 metric tonnes. So,
we've had the time. If you would sum up, please.
Can we have the homework done a little better? And as I promised, I will not be pushing that further at this point. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Thackeray.
Just really wanted to say how much I completely agree with Councillor Clark, and I hope the recording's working well tonight, because that some of what he said I think needs to be broadcast far and wide. Meanwhile, I'm very interested to know, looking at this report,
where the rain garden proposed is going to be? If someone could tell me, please.
Brazil.
We will have the mover of the motion will be able to reply at the end of the debate. And I haven't anybody else written down at the moment, so we might well have reached that point. Councillor Duncan, would you, as mover of the motion, please reply to the debate?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sounds as if we've achieved the point where we've again got, I think, universal consensus around the council chamber in support of this, looking as well at the issue of diesel pumps and what we might be able to do there. So I don't want to say very much more. There was one point raised about the rain garden. It's in the Castlegate area of Moulton. I don't know specifically where, but I will be able to find out and let you know.
Members, we have reached the end of the debate. Please vote now on the motion as amended. As amended, please vote now.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Unanimous, so carried. Thank you very much. We'll move on. We now move on to minute 32A, the responsibility for planning policy, which you'll find on page 43 of your papers. Councillor Duncan, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, this was discussed at the Constitution Working Party. It was then discussed at Policy and Resources. The recommendation to Council is that responsibility for planning policy no longer sits with the Planning Committee, but sits with Policy and Resources. The deliberation on our planning applications will continue as usual by the Planning Committee. The second part of this is that if the move is successful, a working party will be set up, which will bring together some members of Policy and Resources, some members of Planning, and maybe members of the Scrutiny Committee as well. That's, in a nutshell, the recommendation, and I think I have a seconder.
Councillor Arnold, we'll get questions first, but are there any questions for Councillor Duncan?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, do you want me to speak?
Well, we'll see if there are any questions first. To Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. On the basis that it ain't broke, what is your reasoning? What is the benefits of changing it? What's gone wrong so far that we're going to improve on?
Thank you, Councillor Clark, for your question. I do have a full speech which I'm prepared to make about the benefits of this move, but in a nutshell, it is that this Council makes a whole host of policy decisions through the Policy and Resources Committee, but the one area of policy which is not made by the Policy and Resources Committee is planning policy, and a key part of that is a local plan. The local plan decision-making that we make is not done through Policy and Resources, it's done through planning, and I think in isolation we are disadvantaging ourselves in terms of the local plan review that we are preparing to embark on, and that's why this has come forward now, so that we can start that review at this stage, not with one committee and then swapping it to another, that we're starting the review on the right track. So in summary, the key point is making sure that we're discussing all of the policies of this council through one coordinated central committee, which can hopefully look at our local plan review and draw on the best expertise across this council.
If there are no further questions, Councillor Duncan, if you'd move your motion, and I will take your seconder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Steve Arnold is seconding.
In which case, you can make your opening speech.
Thank you. Economic development, as I've already mentioned, is a key part of this Council's priorities. Policy and Resources Committee looks at all sorts of different policies and projects. It makes decisions on our housing, it makes decisions on the strategy to tackle homelessness, It looks at job creation. It looks at investment in key infrastructure. You name it, we tend to have discussions on it, usually taking quite a lot of time, the policy and resources, and also sometimes at this full council as well. The local plan, however, which is a key part of economic development, perhaps the most important document that this council produces, which guides our development in the long term, where our housing is going to be, where our economic development sites are going to be, where leisure sites are going to be also. So we've got all sorts of policies which this council has, but making them happen through the local plan is done through a completely different committee. Imagine how powerful it would be if we had one committee that was coordinating all of the activity of this council and ensuring that the local plan that we have as a council reflects the priorities that we've got, be that through the council plan, be that through anything else which we discuss at policy and resources. So the key thing is the potential benefits that this could have if we were to look at everything as a cohesive whole. So that's the reason why I'm putting this forward. And I think with the working party, which I'm pledging will be set up by policy and resources, we can bring together people who aren't on policy and resources. We can bring together people from different political parties, and hopefully we can have a serious look at some of the benefits of doing things maybe slightly differently and ensuring that our development is as sustainable as it possibly can be and is to the best benefit of this district. So that is the reason why this has come forward this evening, and I want us to get going with this as soon as possible. And I think we can make it a success through this model of doing things. Out of interest, I have, as I've mentioned, I think at Policy and Resources, on my lonely evenings, sat through various constitutions of other councils in North Yorkshire and elsewhere, and I am still yet to find an example of another authority that merges the discussions on planning policy with through the same committee as those enacting that policy and applying it to applications. If anyone has an example, I would be extremely happy to know about it, and we can see how it works for them. But the standard practice seems to be that whatever is driving policy, be it a policy committee, be it a corporate board, be it an executive in those types of systems, they are responsible for the planning policy, which is political. We will have debates about it, but I think by having that working party and by having this set up, it will work, and we will get a local plan which remains relevant into the future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Arnold, a seconder, do you wish to speak now? Thank you. Does any Councillor Clark?
Thank you, Chair. I'm concerned about Councillor Duncan's lonely evenings. And I am concerned that he, so as to make these better, that he's turned to reading the constitutions of other councils. And I wonder whether or not there's anything anybody can do in medical or psychological terms to help him get out of this position. Because I think it's very concerning that someone who's confident he's going to be living to 2050 has now spending his evenings already going down that route. On that basis, I would like to move an amendment to his admirable suggestion, and I wish to add the words, or put the words at the beginning. Prior to any decisions on planning policy, this council would like to express its sincere gratitude to Councillor Goodrick for her work on delivering the site document, which luckily, and the luckily is in inverted commas, runs to 2027.
I'm sending a runner. I will read the amendment. Prior to any decisions, and where does this come in the body of the...
At the beginning.
Prior to any decisions on planning policy, this council would like to express its sincere gratitude to Councillor Goodrick for her work in delivering the CITES document, which luckily runs to 2027. And the seconder is Councillor Potter. I think, Councillor Clark, you've already elaborated on your... No, you want to? That's fine. You can open the batting then. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. I think it would be rude not to thank Councillor Goodrick and the Planning Committee for the work they've done. And the Planning Committee and the Chair prior to that for their work on the local plan. Thank you, through you, Chair. And I am staggered that the Conservative leader wants to do the same as all the others are. It's the, you can have a car of whatever colour you like as long as it's black. Or in this case, you can have a Boris whatever you like as long as it's blue. And all the power to go into one committee. And just in case it happens, I think we must say to Councillor Goodrick and that planning committee that we think you've done a brilliant job. And I suspect many of us actually have this silly view that if somebody's done a brilliant job and is given the brilliant job at the beginning of the year to do into the future, that you really shouldn't be thanking them and congratulating them by taking it away from them. That I find a mysterious form of logic. But never mind, just in case it happens, because I won't be able to move this amendment if that were to happen, which is why I'm putting it in at the beginning. And if the Conservatives wish to vote against Councillor Goodrick's good work, that is entirely up to them. But we will be asking for a recorded vote on it. So on that basis, I think it stands for itself. Through you, Chair, thank you, Caroline, for the work you've done. Thank you, Snowy, for the work you did before that. And thank you to Councillor Rapert for the work that he did before that. Because those chairs have had not just planning applications to look at, they have also had to look at the whole structure of planning. And I'll just leave a question for to Councillor Duncan. What part of the MPPF does he think is going to have the biggest impact on climate change in Rydale? Thank you, Chair.
Before going to Councillor Potter, a seconder, I think should we add in Councillor Farnell as well as being...
Trying desperately on my feet to remember who I had forgotten. That's, and I apologise to
it's
Fiona.
It's not an apology, it's just an addition.
I apologise to Fiona and ask for her to be added to the list.
Councillor Potter, do you wish to speak at this time?
Thank you, Chair. I will only add that I think perhaps it wasn't a matter of luck. Thank you.
Does anybody wish to speak against or for the amendment? Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. Every member of the Planning Committee, including the Chairman, have worked very hard indeed, and I wouldn't want to take that away from any of them. However, whilst canvassing in local elections, I found that the main issue in Moulton was that was the anger about the overdevelopment of the town and the congestion, pollution, and harm to local residential amenity, which this has produced. We have heard concerns about the way the HGV ban at the level crossing has caused a diversion of heavy goods traffic along Highfield Road, and the impact that this has had on the school there. Members will recall that the HGV ban appears in the Rydale plan as an essential requirement, without which the development of both Moulton and Norton could not succeed. As I understand, the Rydale plan requires the construction of 1,800 houses in Moulton and Norton.
Councillor Andrews, we are speaking on the amendment, aren't we?
I am speaking on the amendment. 1,500 plus a buffer of 300, in addition to those which are already being built at Broughton Manor. And to date, I believe only 729 of the 1,800 houses have been built. There are understandable public fears of the impact of Morton and Norton when the remaining houses have been completed. Now, I am not blaming any member of the planning committee. I am not blaming anybody. But I'm saying that if the present system has produced this foul setup, which has caused so much public upset in my ward, then the system needs changing. And for that reason, I will support Councillor Duncan's amendment, to Councillor Duncan's motion. Whilst I will not oppose the amendment, I certainly don't think that the state of the present Ryedale plan is anything that this council or any member of this council can possibly boast about. It is absolutely disgraceful.
Does anybody else? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I did speak when this came to the committee, and I am concerned about this. I personally am quite proud that we're different. I don't mind being different. I think sometimes being different is good. So I don't know why Councillor Duncan is worried that we've got to follow like everybody, every other council. They do it like this, so we should. I think what really worries me, Councillor Duncan, is that it's going to move from a committee that has always
Councillor Burr, we're talking on the amendment, not... Yes. So, Councillor Clark moved the amendment. I'm speaking to Councillor Burr, Councillor Clark, not Councillor Duncan.
I'm Councillor Burr, yeah. I'm speaking to the amendment. So, what I'm worried about is, I'm worried about the division, and it picks up on what Councillor Clark is actually saying. On Councillor Goodrick's watch, I don't think that we got it 100% right, and I don't think that Moulton and Norton particularly fared well. But what I do think on Councillor Goodrick's watch was that it was fair and it was equitable, and people didn't feel it was politically driven. Whereas if we change this, this is going to be divisive and is going to be political. So that is why I will be supporting Councillor Clark's amendment.
Any more on the amendment? In which case, Councillor Clark, would you like to reply to the debate on the amendment?
Thank you, Chair. I thank Councillor Burr for her support, but I'm trying to understand Councillor Andrews's view that the problems of Norton and Moulton would be reduced if it was moved to PNR. Because my understanding is that the problems in the size of development that we've had inflicted on us in Ryedale came from central government, and it was a question of how you handled it. Now, the support for the plan drawn up by the various planning committees was virtually across the council chamber. Councillor Andrews, I will give him his due, opposed it on several occasions. I said that bit without moving my lips, Chair. I didn't interrupt him, but that's fair enough if he wants to. On several occasions that I can remember. And if Paul Andrews can remember with what I can remember, then that's getting even cleverer. But I haven't heard a word from him as to why we shouldn't be supporting Councillor Goodrick and thanking her publicly. And I haven't heard a word from him as to the benefits of it going to PNR, which we're not debating, but the two speakers appear to be going into that area of the debate, which I believe we have to still come. We would like a recorded vote on it, please, Chair.
Thank you. We are going to you have spoken on the. Have you spoken on the amendment? Well, before we do that, the mover of the substantive motion can reply.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't quite understand the amendment that's being put forward. There's lots of talk about not supporting Councillor Goodrick as Chair of Planning, not saying thank you to Councillor Goodrick for the work that she has done. Councillor Goodrick is remaining as Chairman of the Planning Committee, and I'm sure will continue the good work that she has been doing. As for a thank you, I'm easy about what people's view is on that. I don't know what Councillor Goodrick thinks about prayers and saying thank you. We've heard thank yous to other people tonight. I'm easy on it. I just don't quite understand its relevance to what we're actually discussing and the recommendation that's come from Policy and Resources. There's been lots of talk about Councillor Caroline Goodrick and things that have happened, quote, on her watch. She is 4 months into the job, and while we have had the sites document come forward, which I think passed this council with one vote against, we've heard positives and negatives about that sites allocation document and positives and negatives about the local plan. But I think the important thing here is that Councillor Goodrick has been doing this job for 4 months, and to criticise her or to praise her for a very lengthy period of time seems slightly bizarre, but again, I will thank her for the work that she's doing and that she will continue to do as Chairman of Planning. This is not the end of the work that she will do as Chairman of Planning. Thank you.
Thank you. Before going to the vote, I'll read the amendment. This is to appear at the beginning of the recommendation. Prior to any decisions on planning policy, this Council would like to express its sincere gratitude to Councillor Goodrick for her work in delivering the sites document, which luckily runs to 2027. Please vote now on this amendment.
Chairman, that's 20 votes for, 3 against and 3 abstentions.
The amendment is carried. We return to the substantive motion. And we are speaking for or against the substantive motion. Does anybody else to speak against or for? Anybody? I forget where we've got. I've got Councillor Oxley followed by Councillor Arnold.
Thank you, Chair. Delighted the amendment's been passed. Thanking all Councillor Goodrick, but Councillor Clark was nice enough to list all the previous holders of the position as it's been. And as Councillor Duncan points out, this is a job that's going to continue. Disappointing when members actually, I think, criticise things that committees have done, but I can't please everybody all the time, can you? My issue here is very simple. Councillor Clark is sick at subcommittees of hearing me talk about process and the way that process works. My background experience through my working life tells me that there is advantage in separating policy from operation of that policy, and that is what in effect we're doing here. So on those simple grounds, that my experience is that when you separate policy from the operations and run them separately, you get a better result, you get more input into the policy, you get better discussion on the policy, and then pass it on to the operations. I will therefore be supporting the motion.
Councillor Arnold, you're the seconder of the motion. Before I go back to you, does anybody else wish to speak? Councillor Clark, you've actually already spoken on... Actually, no, it was an amendment. If you wish to speak now on the substantive motion, you can.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, it's fascinating, isn't it? The Chair of Planning has, for quite a few years, been the Chair of our... And the Planning Committee has been the driving force in our plan, site documents, etc. It does not thank the amendment that we've just passed, Councillor Goodrick, for her good work on judging people's house extensions and garage extensions at whatever, it refers to the site document, which is part of the policy planning. And it's made very clear from our leader and from Councillor Oxley that she's going to carry on doing that. Really? How are you going to carry on doing policy planning for this council if you're having it taken away from that committee? Carrying on doing the planning applications, yes, but that was only part of the job. And I just don't believe it's a very good way, in leadership and management terms, to put somebody on a track for a year and then 4 months down the track change it very much so. The other strand we've got here, that putting everything together is better than having it separate. Now, I can understand that. This is the conservative control system, get everything into central government number 10, wherever it is, and run it from there on a tight control basis. As opposed to the silly liberal idea of trying to spread out decision makers right down to the individual. We had here, and we disagreed with it 10 years ago whenever this happened, because we thought we'd got a good system going. And as far as we were concerned, it improved. Because I'm still waiting for Councillor Duncan's answer on climate change in the MPPF. And you have got more people working on it, because these plans have got to come to full council, whichever committee they go to. But centralising them all in one committee is not involving, let's all work together, let's all be involved. It's let's bring the decision making into an even smaller group. So on that basis, as it has worked well up to now, even though it is different from all the others, can we please, and we would like a recorded vote on this as well, please, can we please leave it alone? It's not broken. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Mason.
I came to this meeting with an open mind on this one. I've listened to the debate, and I agree with John and on his points here. I think the resources of the PNR, do the PNR actually have the resources to do this and take it away from planning? Because, as you say, we need to share the load on this council to put proper scrutiny on. And I do wonder whether you're just taking on a little bit too much of PNR with this policy.
I have nobody wishing to speak now. Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. I repeat the point that I made before. The local plan that has been produced has been a disaster for Moulton and Norton. And the system, I'm not saying that any one individual or any one member is responsible for what's happened, but the system needs to change. If this system carries on producing the impact of traffic and congestion and emissions in Moulton and Norton, then the system has to change. How could policy and resources make a difference? Well, they could bring to bear on planning policy other angles of policy which are perhaps also important to the council, so that the matter doesn't become simply a matter, the review of the local plan doesn't simply become an academic exercise which is based simply on planning considerations, or where planning considerations become the overwhelming consideration and it goes on and it's reviewed in a way which excludes or diminishes the importance of the social and business requirements of the rest of the district. The Rydale plan was not driven entirely by government. The government said what should be in the plan. It didn't say where we should put what had to be in the plan. It didn't say that we had to put 50% of all new houses in Moulton and Norton. It didn't say that 50% of houses had to be put into one place. They could have been a better distribution policy, and it didn't happen. We weren't even, as I recall, we weren't, Morton and Norton wasn't even given the option. There were five options, and each of those five options started with 50% for Morton and Norton. The suggestion is that the system is not broken. Well, I say that the Rydale plan certainly is broken, and it needs to be reviewed properly, and it needs to be reviewed by an entirely different set of people. And for that reason, I will support Councillor Duncan.
Councillor Joy Andrews.
Thank you very much. I've sat and listened in more than one meeting to Councillor Andrews, and Councillor Andrews isn't going to be happy, whoever had done the local plan. Pickering got 25% of those buildings. You got Moulton got 25, Norton got 25. We got far less business allocation, and I have not once moaned about it, because people saw that that's what had to happen, that people have to have somewhere to live. And yes, it's not ideal. Infrastructure is at breaking point for all three main towns, not just Norton and Moulton. But I think the planning committee did a job, and they did it well, and we do have a plan, which a lot of councils don't have. And those councils could be councils that have PNR running their local plan. But our planning department had that. And I do think it's wrong to take it away from them, especially halfway through when we're looking at... And yes, we have new members on, but we also have the old guard on there that have been through the process, that know it inside out, and I think we should support the planning committee to carry on taking us to 2027 and then possibly look at it. Thank you.
Councillor Arnold, a seconder, you have the right to speak now.
Policy and Resources Committee is responsible for policy committee decisions, and it seems very sensible to me to have planning policy decisions decided by a committee from Policy and Resources Committee, provided that all members of that committee are planning training, and it includes the chair and vice chair of the planning committee.
Councillor Duncan, as mover, you have the right to reply.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to address some of the points that have been raised. A key one that was mentioned was that I haven't explained the benefits of why I'm proposing this and putting it forward. I think I quite clearly articulated the benefits of ensuring that there was one committee looking at all of the policies of this council. Some people may disagree with that, but that is the reason that I put forward for it. To suggest otherwise, I don't think is quite accurate. One of the reasons put forward is that I'm proposing that we follow every other council. That is not why I'm saying we should do this, although what follows from the fact that every other council does this is why do they do it? And that, I think, is the issue that I touched on to start with, that there are benefits of that joined up kind of thinking. Another issue that's been mentioned is that there will be less people involved with the local plan, that the planning committee members won't be involved. Every member of this council, I hope, will be involved in setting the local plan and setting our development priorities. I think that the proposal that's on the table will actually increase the collaboration that we've got across this council. It allows just as many, if not more, people to be involved via the working party that I have mentioned, and indirectly feeding into that as well from across this council. I know people do feel very passionately about it, and want to make sure that they have an impact and that they have a say. I'm giving that assurance to this council. However, I'm aware that we are doing something different that will take more time, that will take time to get used to, and maybe will take effort to make it work. I'm confident that it will work, and I'm confident that our development over time will benefit from this. That's why I'm putting it forward. And people who have read the report will see that this is where planning policy used to sit prior to 2013. This council decided to change it to planning. And at that time, Councillor Burr, Councillor Clark, Councillor Shields, I think Councillor Keogh as well, and others, all said that it was best keeping it where it was. I don't know the reasons why they articulated for that to happen, because some people didn't speak during the debate. Again, on one of my lonely nights, I listened back to the recording of that debate and what had been said. And the argument at the time was that there would be benefits of having one committee looking at all of the policies of this council. And it seems to me that whatever the Conservatives put forward in terms of where planning policy should be, some will rally against it, even if now, all these years later, we are saying that that decision was the right decision and that's where we want it to be. So I'm making trying to make a clever point on that one, but the principle is that this, I feel strongly, is the right thing to do. That's why I'm putting it forward, and I think that we can, by working together, make this work and bringing expertise, experience, and also some new ideas from across the council. Thank you very much.
That's exactly 3 minutes. We have debated this matter as amended. Members, please vote now on the substantive motion as amended. The amendment was passed. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's 14 votes for, 9 against and 3 abstentions.
The motion is carried. Thank you. We move therefore on to minute 32B, substitutes at subcommittees on page 49. Would Councillor Dunk have once moved and seconded, this recommendation stands adjourned without discussion to the next ordinary meeting of full council under council procedure rule 23.2. Councillor Duncan, please introduce this recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a recommendation to correct, add in, I'm not quite sure, a practice which in some areas of the council is already taking place and in others is not happening, but they would like it to happen. This is quite a technical kind of issue. Substitutes at subcommittees, it seems logical that we should have nominated substitutes at these subcommittees. That's why it's come forward. It was discussed at Constitution Working Party and there was unanimous, I think, support for that to happen. I'm hoping that we won't spend a long time discussing this one, but who knows. I think I have a seconder, and I'm happy to take any questions if people really do have questions that they would like to ask me.
Are there any questions? No. Good. Councillor Duncan. It's seconded by Councillor McKenzie. Does anybody wish your opening speech?
I've kind of touched on the main points. There's consensus around this from group leaders, Constitution Working Party. It makes sense. We're correcting something which is happening at Policy and Resources. It's something which I think scrutiny wanted to happen but weren't quite sure if they could. I will... I'll leave that there. I'm not sure why Councillor Clark is signalling and looking confused.
It's because once moved and seconded, it is adjourned.
Yeah. And we shouldn't have any speaking or questions or comments.
No, anything. You're quite right. Thank you very much, Councillor Clark.
You asked me to make my move of speech.
You did. I'm sorry. I'm
that's why I was looking through you, Mr. Councillor Duncan's concern.
It's as well that I keep an eye on various corners of the room. It is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have we reached our time?
It's not 10. Can I inform our leader that it's not 10 o'clock? But it is, in fact, what you've got here has to be moved and seconded without discussion,
yep.
Has to then be adjourned.
I will read out the
it's
preamble.
Not 10 o'clock, though.
I will read out the preamble again. Once moved and seconded, this recommendation stands adjourned without discussion to the next ordinary meeting of full council under council procedure rule 23.2.
Now I do understand what you're saying, Mr. Chairman. I'm very sorry.
The motion
there is a time delay, Chair, which you may have noticed for Councillor Duncan. He's spending too many evenings looking into council minutes.
I am equally at fault because I was on a roll as well. The motion now stands adjourned. We'll move on to minute 32C, management of meetings, which you'll find on page 57. And again, this is another one that once moved and seconded, it will move. Would Councillor Duncan please briefly introduce this recommendation?
I'm happy to move it, and I think someone is happy to second it.
For the record, it is moved and seconded, by Councillor Arnold. The motion now stands adjourned. Minute 36, developing the Council Plan 2019 to 2023, which you'll find on page 77. This allow you to find your places. Would Councillor Duncan please briefly introduce this recommendation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was discussion about the Council Plan at Policy and Resources. This was the result of it. I will elaborate further, given that there was some confusion at Policy and Resources, but I'm happy to move it and then would like to speak on it.
That's fine. Are there any questions? Before seconded, we'll after ask any questions to Councillor Duncan. No. Councillor Duncan, please move your recommendation, and then, once seconded, we can move into debate.
Thank you. I'm happy to move it. I'm not sure if you want me to speak now on...
It needs to be seconded first.
Sorry.
By Councillor Arnold. Yeah. Councillor Duncan, please... Your own
Thank
speech.
You. I will get used to all of this procedure. I'm sorry that I took my eye off the ball there. So the council plan came forward as a topic of discussion at Policy and Resources. The council plan sets the priorities, the strategic direction of the council over the next 4 years. It's important, I think, that we have a council plan, and it's vital that members of this council are leading that plan and that it reflects the priorities of this council as a whole. The discussion that we had was that the original plan was that we would have some workshops that all members would attend and could share their thoughts and their priorities. They were scheduled for August and September and would have gone ahead if Policy and Resources had backed that, but for reasons I don't quite know, Policy and Resources didn't back those. I think it seems sensible to get everybody together into a room. There was debate on it. People wanted to start with a blank sheet of paper. I'm completely happy with that, but there does need to be some sort of structure to the development of the council plan. I don't feel that this council right now tonight can decide the process which we are going to go through to develop the council plan. We had the opportunity at Policy and Resources to discuss it and decide, and there was an amendment to send it here. Now, I don't think this is the right place to do that. I brought it to committee. It didn't have to come to committee, but I wanted it there so that people knew what was going on from the inception of the plan. And I have to say, I do feel sad's a strong word, but I feel slightly disappointed that we had that opportunity and members, for whatever reason, didn't want to have the discussion. I don't think this is the right place, and therefore I am saying that I will be voting against the recommendation that we've got, and I think that we should have all members get together at a point which does not need to be decided by this council. We do not need council approval for members to meet. I think that's the simplest way forward. It may well be that group leaders want to meet with their groups, discuss their points of view and feed it in, but I think the easiest way out of this is that we vote against the recommendation, how it's got here, and I will give a commitment that all members of this council need to be involved, and I hope that we can get a council plan that we can all get behind. But what I'm saying is that I'll be voting against this as an easy way forward. I hope that there's consensus around that, otherwise we could be here for a very long time having amendments and discussion on something which we can have outside of this room.
Councillor Arnold, a seconder, do you wish to speak now?
Thank you. I was quite happy the way this plan came to Policy and Resources, and it was purely the Liberal Party that changed it, thanks to Councillor Andrews, Joy Andrews. So I again shall vote against this, because I felt we all got our own impetus, the way it was presented at Policy and Resources, and doing it this way will delay our council plan for probably a year.
Councillor Clark.
I'm trying to understand why it was our fault that this happened, but let's assume it was. It's usually the easiest way out of the argument. So, okay, it's our fault.
And it's our fault that the majority of policy and resources, which should be represented by the chair of policy resources, that view, but clearly it doesn't look as though it's going to be, that this should be member-led. I didn't hear anybody saying it should be slowed down. But it should be member-led. It should not be officer-led. It should be member-led and it should be officer-facilitated. And I've started to work through the idea of an amendment, and I think the only phrase we need is a members-facilitated forum. In other words, a meeting, as Councillor Duncan says, with as many people as well, there's nothing to stop us having a meeting of that nature, so there's common ground there. But it would be member-led, not officer-led. And then the members can take things out of the officer's suggestion that we've got here and put them in. But members should not be taking the officer's recommendation here and twiddling with them with something that is strategic as the corporate plan. That is what we all stood for in our own colours and our own flags, with the mistake on our leaflet saying that we would raise the subject in the next year when it should have been when it comes up for renew and in 18 months. I apologise for that, 6 months out. But we should be providing the lead on the direction of the council. And on that basis, if you had a members facilitated forum going round with group leaders' input and members' input and whatever, would be a better way of getting it. Now this, through you, Chair, to our leader, is possibly your last chance. Just on the basis that you have been forcing things through that are not the common ground. Right through to this 2 minutes ago, when you said that you would be voting against what your own committee has just come to. And I'm giving you a way out of that knot that you've got into, except an amendment, because at the moment it says, where it says it enables all elected members of Rydale District Council to decide the process, it could read, all elected, starting with a capital A, delete up to there, all elected members of Rydale District Council to decide the process and the outcome, starting with a members' facilitated forum. And that was the consensus I got from observing the meeting, because it could have been quite happy if you'd wanted to, let you carry on down the route you were going, call it into scrutiny, forced through the Constitution you to have another PNR.
Councillor Clark, we've had nearly three and a half minutes, if you'd like
to
sum up, please.
I'm covering a lot of ground here, so that I'm trying to give Councillor Duncan an opportunity to put this back together before the wheels fall off. Because if he just votes against...
If we have the wording of your amendment, and then we can carry forward. Councillor Andrews, did you wish to speak to the substantive motion, or was it a personal explanation you were named... Well, we can leave the substantive motion to the end of the amendment. If you wanted to reply personally to what somebody had said, that we can do that now.
Just to Councillor Arnold. I mean, admitted, for those people that weren't at the meeting, it was very confusing. But I did it with the best intentions. I wanted this to come as a part B to full council, so that full council could look at this. I didn't want policy and resources to look at the officer's strategy on this, because I didn't believe it should be an officer's strategy.
I think we're sort of going into the amendment, but...
Yeah, I think I'm there, Chair. If I want to get Councillor Andrews' signature on there, and I will come for a walk because the exercise doesn't.
Okay, in answer to Councillor Arnold, I mean, I did disrupt things, and I'm not sorry about doing it, and I'll explain why later.
Councillor Oxley, what's the...
question, really.
I think I heard Councillor Clark say that he was proposing a forum facilitated by members. I'd just ask him to...
We have an amendment proposed. Can I read it out and then we'll go through the amendment?
I think he should say something different, but we'll...
The amendment should be delete something enable... Up to enable and to include a members facilitated forum.
So it would read all members of Rydale District Council to decide the process and the outcome. I think we're agreed on that. And then the bit you've got there about the facilitated forum.
Thank you. I've read that out. Would you outline? Would you open your speech on your amendment, please?
I think you probably have. I don't think there's at this time much need for me to go beyond just saying it should be members led. That's what we've proposed, is members led, and if Councillor Duncan will accept that amendment, we don't even need to debate the amendment, and it will take us to having a meeting, officer facilitated, for members to contribute to our policy.
Councillor Duncan, it's in your hands whether it's an addition rather than an amendment.
Again, I think the word there was officer facilitated discussion, but what does the amendment say? The words in front of you.
Members facilitated forum.
I'm confused about what this is trying to achieve. Well, when we discussed this at Policy and Resources, we had down there that we would have a member session open to all members of this council in August. We'd then have a follow-up in September, and we'd go from there. That was rejected by Policy and Resources, saying that all members of this council should discuss it here at full council, and now we're saying we should do exactly what was down there to be discussed at Policy and Resources. I am concerned that what this is trying to achieve is not in the best interests of the council plan. It is not trying to get consensus across the groups. It's not trying to
Councillor
get...
Councillor Duncan, I appreciate your point.
I'm speaking on the amendment. I don't know if...
We haven't quite got what the amendment's supposed to read yet. So I take it from that, actually, we don't have the mover of substantive motions permission to add this wording. It sounds like the... Sorry.
In which case, Chair, we'll have to debate it as an amendment.
Yeah. Councillor Oxley.
Sorry, Chair. I come back to the point I made before. I think it's a wording issue. If that said a facilitated forum for members, i.e. it is not the members who facilitate it, because we haven't got the skills, but the words there are members facilitated. What it needs to read, in my opinion, is a facilitated forum for members. Sorry, it's my pass back down.
I think we're into semantics. I am wanting members to be in a room with officers or other facilitators to help gather up ideas onto a... I've been told it's no longer called brainstorming, it's got some other... And it's no longer spider diagrams, because all those things are from the 80s. It must be called something else these days, but I haven't caught up with it. You put all that lot together, so it is member-driven. The opposition to this in PNR, if I understood it from the side bench, was that it was, what do you think of this? Now, that's not far away, but it tends to steer people. And the opposition to it was that members should be putting together, what do you think of this stage? And some of what's been put together here by the Chief Executive, most members, all members for some chunks, will go, that one's slotting in, that one's putting in, but that shouldn't be the driving way of doing the policy for the board. The board on any company, sorry to explain to the Conservative business people, that the board decides the policy and the Chief Executive delivers. Now, the boards that I know of have always had the Chief Executive playing a key role in facilitating that, but the board makes those strategic decisions. And that was the problem. This looked like, it may not have been meant to be that, but it looked like the Chief Executive doing too much guiding. It may not have been, but it looked like.
Time, Councillor Clark.
And therefore, if we have members doing it, with officers putting it all together, I think we'll get a better result and we'll be in charge, in inverted commas, of doing our policy. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Joyander, as you've seconded this amendment, do you wish to speak at this moment?
Right, I'll reserve my right, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Thackeray.
Yes, I was just going to go back to the P&R meeting at which this was discussed. And I have a very firm memory of being discussing that we would all be given a white sheet of paper and being able to write down ideas and draw pictures and poetry even and pool our ideas because that's firmly what I believe I was elected for, and I think many of the people around this chamber would believe that they were elected for, to be able to contribute their ideas, their different life experiences, their skill sets, and even some, you know, even some differences in musical taste. But to have it devolved to a working group, no, that's not the way forward, not in my opinion. And well, I'll continue to draw pictures, whatever happens, but I'll probably put them in other places. Thank you.
Councillor Burr?
Oh, I don't quite live in your world, but anyway. Exactly. Well, I was at P&R, and I distinctly remember that some some council members were getting quite frustrated when we were expressing that we wanted to be member-led, and that we did all want to contribute because some of us felt that we'd just been completely and utterly pushed out right at the very beginning, and we just felt that we weren't being heard, nothing was happening, and that is why the debate went on. And Councillor Clark is completely right, he was there observing, and Joy put this to us, and it was very sensible, and you shouldn't need to apologise, because what you did was perfectly fine. And yes, it was about us really feeling ostracised, and it was about bringing everybody together. And I thought earlier this evening that the spirit was actually to work together and for everybody to try and put their views in, etc., etc. And at P&R, we were being steered, really, that was not was wanted to happen. So that is how it's come about, and I'm quite happy with it.
Does anybody else wish to speak on the amendment? Councillor Duncan.
I think the key thing we want to get out of this is a council plan. What we have done so far, in terms of our discussions, is something came to policy and resources, and we pushed it one, maybe slightly more, months down the path. And here we are now discussing, setting up and having a facilitated discussion, a workshop, whatever you might like to call it, which is exactly what was being proposed at policy and resources. And my grave fear about this is that actually the intentions of some members of this council, I'm not going to point fingers or name names, but the intention of some members of this council is to frustrate the entire process that we've got for having a council plan. I asked specifically for this cut to come to policy and resources. I'm not sure that the process and the background information came before policy and resources in previous rounds of the council plan, which I think we all agree is not fit for purpose. I went out of my way to ensure that policy and resources had the information and could steer and could decide what we wanted to do with the council plan, set up and say we would like to have that workshop and a follow-up workshop. And what has happened is it was pushed here, the completely wrong forum to have this discussion, complete time wasting, and I'm concerned that this is going to be the process that we're going to go down. We can have a council plan that's presented as a finished product, and if the majority of this council are happy with it, it will go through. Or we can actually have a genuine discussion, which is what I was hoping that we would have. And what I'm going to say tonight is that whatever happens with this, there will be a workshop to which all members are invited at some point in the next few weeks, and we can have a proper and thorough discussion facilitated by our officers. We do not need a resolution of council to get together and have a discussion. And what I don't want this to do is to bind the future development of the council plan, which I have stated needs to be member-led. I said that at policy and resources. I said that we can start with a blank sheet of paper, but what I seem to find time after time is that people come to this council with lots of different ideas, sometimes badly articulated, sometimes I completely disagree with them, sometimes they come with good ideas, but more often than not I find that some members of this council don't have very many ideas at all and don't want to put them forward and don't want to spend the time having the discussion. We need to have a council plan and we need to have one as soon as we possibly can. And I'm sticking by my guns and saying that I want this to be removed, to vote against it, and we'll start down the track of developing the council plan outside of the formal committee structure, outside of this full council. I'm giving my assurance that members will be involved, and I hope that standing here and saying that loud and clear, you can hold me to account on that, that we will have members involved in the development of the council plan. But the fundamental thing is that this has got to come back to full council. So it has got to get a majority of council supporting it. All throughout this discussion, it had to come back here. And it may well be that we get a council plan which some members of the council aren't happy with, but we work on majorities, and it is likely that what the majority of council want, some members won't.
3 minutes.
So I'm stating that loud and clear, and I want to get rid of this, and we can start actually developing the council plan unhindered. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor, thank you. You've actually already spoken on the amendment, but I have you all to speak in future on the substantive motion, so I will come back to you on the substantive motion. I have nobody else wanting to speak on the amendment. Councillor Joy Andrews has seconded. Do you wish to speak now?
Councillor Keane Duncan has just said he gives his assurances that we will be involved as members in making decisions. I don't just want to be involved, I want to lead on this. And I think my argument was that we have new members here, new councillors that were voted by the people they represent in their wards, and they may have ideas. And I just thought that report that came obviously had a lot of good points, but I just thought to start this new council with lots of new members, probably more members than we've had before in previous councils, it would be good to get everybody together in a room with blank sheets of paper with what people want in their patch, if you like, rather than being part of, involved in, oh, well, I like this bit, but let's take that bit out. Start with a blank sheet of paper and write down what we would like to see the council plan being. It's the same difference as you said you would like to see a member development meeting, or not member, but a meeting to discuss what's there. I'm saying we have a meeting and we have a blank sheet of paper. And there'll be stuff on there that, you know, people will be thinking outside the box, and it'll be getting thrown outside the box, no doubt. But I think every member, have been voted by the public, should have an opportunity to start with a blank sheet of paper and write exactly down what they would like the council plan to be. And it can be informal, and we can swap ideas, and we can look, and we can get to know about other people's patches, if you like. And then move on from there with officers being very involved. But initially, I think we need to be seen as this is a strategic plan we as members need to lead, not be involved in discussions on. Thank you.
Councillor Clark, as mover of the amendment, would you like to speak and answer the debate?
Thank you, Chair. It's disappointing that our leader doesn't want a motion coming from tonight's council, particularly when it's as open and general as it is. And I have Councillor Thackeray's problem of being able to not read at arm's length as well. However, in these workshops in August and September, so by now plus a little bit, we were going to test out the ambition statement. Not produce the ambition statement, test it out. Making any suggestions for alterations or improvement. Now, that's fine, but it should be ours. And it may end up with exactly the same wording as we had in the officer's report. And in some cases, I'll be staggered if it isn't, because I'm sitting there going, I agree, I agree, I agree. But it should be ours, completely ours. Test out the proposed priorities, taking away any suggestions for alterations. Discuss that exists, which serves as a rationale for priorities. That is looking at what we have and changing it. And we should be setting off initially with Joy's blank sheets of paper, the flip charts, the scatter diagrams, the brainstorming, the whatever it's called these days. Because if we don't go down that route, you have a danger of members not feeling it is theirs. And there's no criticism of Councillor Duncan there, other than he wanted to start anyway when the decision to what we did would go to full council. He still wanted to start that night, which is good enthusiasm. But bluntly, it's a plan for 5 years. And if it's got right and has got the council oars, the council behind it, that is far better. So I've no intention of withdrawing the amendment. We've got a motion down there. I hope you will support it, because it is saying in council decide terms some of what you're already saying. But it couldn't be started back then, because there was vast numbers of members of this council aren't on P&R. And it's a corporate plan, not something to be done by the board, not a subcommittee. Thank you, Chair.
Will we now I'll read out the amendment and then we'll vote on it and let the Liberals. Thank you. The amendment reads to delete the words up to enable and to include a members facilitated forum. Are we all clear with voting on this amendment? Members, please vote now. I can't. The wording of the amendment reads thus. Delete the words up to enable and then put in to include a members facilitated forum. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's 12 votes for and 14 against.
The amendment has been defeated. We move back to the substantive motion. I have Councillor Thackeray wishing to speak on the substantive motion.
Oh, sorry, that's my button still going. Yes, I would just like to offer my services to arrange some improvised music for whatever workshops you organise, because I think it will be very thought-provoking and probably an exciting new experience, guaranteed to make people think differently. Is that right?
Thank you for that. Councillor Joy Andrews, I have you wishing to speak on the substantive motion. No? Does anybody else wish to speak on the substantive motion? The seconder of the motion has spoken. I beg your pardon, Councillor Clark.
Yes, just briefly, Chair. I find it impressive how two members of P&R will vote one way in P&R and then against that way tonight. And I just wonder how much cooperation we're going to get, because I am perfectly happy to go down the Wentworth Street car park, the IEZ, the bullying route, and be purely opposition. Because that, I think, is the position you're putting in. We asked you what wording you'd like. We asked you what you'd like to do. And you don't want a motion from full council. You want to take it into the group leader's position. And that's fine. You can do that. But when you've done that, you have a great group of people who don't feel led. They feel... I don't know, there's an element of dragged in it rather than leadership bringing with, if that makes sense. And that's up to you. You do it. You've got it. And if you want opposition, it's not a problem through you, Chair.
Councillor Duncan, as mover of the substantive motion, you have a right to reply.
I'll keep this very brief. I've taken on board what Councillor Clark has said. I've made a promise that I want to ensure that all members of this council feel that they have had an input and a say into the plan that we are developing as a council. I've made that promise and that pledge here at full council. I've heard lots of members say they want to lead on this and be very involved with the process. But at the end of the day, members have got to recognise that there are political groupings on this council, and some groups are bigger than others, and that means that inevitably, when push comes to shove, there may be things in this plan, Councillor Clark, which you and your group don't like, and the other groups on this council don't like, but the balance of majorities on this council will produce. The plan has got to come back here, and I am not going to waste my time producing a plan which this council is not going to support, because we have wasted several months' worth of work. So I will be ensuring that this full council backs this plan, and a majority of council backs it, and that it succeeds. That is what I will endeavour to do as leader of this council, and I've tried to make clear that I will be listening and involving as many members of this council who want to be involved. I make that pledge yet again, just to reassure anyone who is unsure of where I stand.
The matter has been debated fully. Please vote now on the substantive motion.
Chairman, that's one vote for, 24 against, and one abstention.
The motion is defeated. Members, we have gone beyond the time of 2.5 hours, 3.5 hours, including adjournments. Therefore, the meeting is ended. There are items that need. Yep. 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 We are. The meeting is ended. There is an item of information. There is an item of business that we need to do by a time limit. Therefore, we will have to convene a special meeting to deal with that. Any other business not concluded tonight will be forwarded to the next meeting. Thank you all very much, ladies and gentlemen, members.